explore about the kind of stuff that has been funded, the taxpayers' money used for it. Like the woman who smeared herself with chocolate and urinated on the stage and invited people to come up and, how to put it delicately, I guess there's no way to conduct a gynecological examination.
This is TV's Leah Remini, and I just have to say that I enjoy John's company much better than Charlie's.
You know, when I went to school, there were men's residences, there were women's residences, and there was one co-ed dorm. But it is now the norm on most college campuses across the country that dormitories are co-educational, except in one state. There's one I have no idea what he's saying. Anyway, there's one campus where there are co-educational facilities,
and they're running back number 44, Curtis Enos.
John and Mike, you know, I heard you were having a party, and you're trying to get me to go, but I'm not going to go if there's no f***ing ziti, because, you know, it's just not going to happen. Thank you very much.
John and Mike, there'll be no mollycoddling.
Everybody loves John and Mike.
It's the Don and Mike, and they'll say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Hello, Philip.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Rob Spiewak. Take it away, Rob.
Thank you, Phil, and good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Deasy and all the kids at sea. Hey, they love to stretch women. John Geronimo and Mike O'Meara.
Hey, no good, they're stretched out.
Yeah.
But that was yesterday's show. And hello, and thank you for listening coast-to-coast nationwide via the Westwood One Radio Syndicating Network, my friends. John and Mike show coming to you from radio station WJFK-FM in Washington, D.C.
Yeah!
Counting them up sideways, backwards, frontwards. Double nickel.
Sure.
Still have 55 affiliates.
All right.
Every day, it's first thing I do. I come and tell you, any cancellations?
Right.
No. Any new stations?
Mm-hmm.
No.
55.
Status quo.
Yeah, it's been that way for a while.
55 affiliate stations. We have over 5 million Arbitron-rated listeners, and we thank you for your patronage. And, of course, there's Big Al, your radio pal, Jeremy the Gerbil, Big Daddy Mel, Donald Monkey Boy Ephraim.
Mm.
And here he is, my left, your right. Off in the next room, in the hermetically sealed room, It's Jack Kent Burbank. Hello, Buzz.
Hi, Don. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Mr. Glanville.
Hi.
Hello, and welcome, everybody. February 1st.
February.
February 1st.
Is that what is the proper pronunciation of that?
I've always said February.
That can't possibly be right.
Well, I know it's like, you can say February, but that's like saying Ryberry.
February.
Or Ambulance.
February.
February. That's what I said.
February.
February.
Feb.
February.
It's February.
Rue-ary.
So you said
February.
You're saying February.
That's the correct pronunciation.
Yeah, phonetically you're saying F-E-B-R-E-F-E-B-R-E.
February. February, and the first thing I said this morning was rabbit, rabbit, rabbit. You never heard that before?
No.
That's what, on the first day of the month, The first thing you have to say is rabbit, 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 or you have bad luck for the whole month.
Well, I didn't do that.
Right?
Is that the first day of every month?
Yes. Well, no wonder you're such a mess.
Well, why the hell didn't you call me then?
You never say rabbit, rabbit, rabbit. If I called you...
If you called me, it was pretty important.
If you had picked up the phone and said hello,
yes,
it would have been too late. Mm-hmm. The first thing you have to say is rabbit, rabbit, rabbit.
So your eyes opened today, and you said rabbit, rabbit, rabbit.
Out loud. I do it every month, I swear
really?
To God.
Rabbit, rabbit, rabbit.
Rabbit, rabbit, rabbit.
What do you get any credit if you say it at least on the first day?
No, it's got to be the first thing you say on the first day of every new month.
Like the first day of February.
February.
See, now Buzz says, I think Buzz pronounces it correctly.
February.
You say February, and then I really, probably for most of my life, have said February.
Mm-hmm. Most people do.
Well, you
might as well say library then. Let's go to the library.
But you're not pronouncing it correctly.
Oh, yes, I am.
No, Buzz is pronouncing it correctly.
February.
You're saying February.
Well, everybody's wrong, Mike. I'm used to that. Listen, today, before we start the show, and we have Gordon Liddy coming in about 5 minutes to give us some tips on paintball.
Oh, good.
And I'm sure he can correctly give us a pronunciation of February.
He's the encyclopedia.
Right.
He's the guy you have to go to, right?
Bam, bam. First things, two things before Mr. Liddy comes in. First, got to promote this.
Yeah.
Tomorrow night, the return of the Las Vegas style show
at the Bell. Showdown.
Tomorrow night, we'll be at Bohager's, one of our favorite joints in Charm City in Baltimore, Maryland, at the brand new Bodome with the all new Las Vegas style show 2000, including the debut of the new feud. Also, whose ass is that? Along with your all time favorites like Homo Joe and Cheryl the Big Dyke and Dennis Murphy, and of course, the underwear fashion show.
Yeah. Are our two friends going to be there by any chance?
I think they are, but we don't know for sure.
So we can't say until we know for sure.
Wait until we get the confirmation that the adult stars will be joining us.
That's good. If they can't show, we can probably find some others.
Tomorrow night, we will be at Bohager's in Baltimore. We hit the stage at 9. Don't cost nothing to get in. It's our way of saying thank you for listening to the show. Please don't forget you have to be 21 to get in. Now, before we bring Mr. Lydian, and then we'll take your telephone calls at 1-877-365-3636. Do have a slight favor to ask those listening to the show right now, and especially guys.
All right.
Mike and I today, for some reason, are supposed to make some tease video for Westwood One.
Mm-hmm.
We were approached about this yesterday, that they're going to be having some Westwood One management meetings. And rather than actually bring all of the disc jockeys who work for Westwood One to New York,
right,
they are having each disc jockey tape a brief 30 to 60 second vignette on why Westwood One is a great company.
Which is, you know, when Jeremy came in and suggested this yesterday, when he first started to say it, I mean, that is the alternative that I prefer. Because when he first came in, he said, listen, Westwood One is asking disc jockeys to speak to the managers. Mm. And I'm like, oh, my God. You know, we're going to have to go and, like, go into a room full of suits.
Right. So what we're doing is we're taping a message. And we're going to tape the message here on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And ideally what I would like is to get some listener. And, of course, if it's in the demographics of this show, he will be slightly overweight.
Mm-hmm.
To come down and moon. And as the camera pans from myself to Mike,
right,
then for the rest of our message to people from Westwood One,
we have a special manager's meeting message for all of you people in power.
And hopefully, the guy will actually do a Jim Carrey.
Mm-hmm.
You know how Jim Carrey made his ass?
Speak? Yeah, talk to the eye.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that'd be wonderful. I think that would be our way of saying hello, and it would, you know, it would put us on the map.
Kind of let them know, because they're going to be sitting through hours of disc jockeys. Westwood One has about 100 different shows that they syndicate.
Mm-hmm.
All of them going, hey, hi, listen, this is Tom Lickus, and I want to say it's great. Westwood One keeps syndicating my show.
You know, I can see it all happening now when the camera's in here, where he starts out on you, and you're talking about how seriously we take the show and how serious we are about our fans and people that you know, are fans of the show. And, you know, we really have a great relationship with our listeners, and we have a listener now that would like to say something. And just, he just gets over there and goes, hi, managers!
Just a shot of his big old ass.
Sure.
So we need someone willing to come down and drop crowd today.
That'll take 5 seconds.
It's too bad the guy who won the hairy ass contest is not around, because he'd be perfect.
Oh, absolutely. But, you know, I kind of think we'll probably have a better guy for this task.
So if you want to come on down to the Dynamite World Broadcast Headquarters, we will take the first guy that fits our, you know, workout profile.
Right.
So come on down. Now, joining us in the studio, now,
let me take my foot down off the counter here, because I was in my relaxed position, and I don't want to do that when this gentleman's here.
No relaxing around me.
I feel like you should come to attention.
Yes, indeed. The man is going to be the official general for our paintball battle against the sales staff this weekend. Even though he will not be there physically,
he will be.
I wanted to two things. First of all, on the Westwood One thing, you know, they got me into that lash up too.
Oh, did they really?
Yeah, and I told him, you know, they said, you motivate Westwood One. I told him, I'll tell you how to motivate. I know where you live. I have passed your telephone call, and if which one of you is screwing which of the other ones?
Same sex, opposite sex, or nothing.
You're all fired.
That's the way to do it.
Now, the second thing is, I wanted you to know that the other side attempted to recruit me into this thing.
Oh, the salespeople did.
Oh.
And they pulled out the numero uno incentive, which is Michelle Combs. I've been trying to get into Michelle's pants for 8 years now, and I haven't. Utterly unsuccessful. So I just said, it's 8 o'clock in the morning. I said, honey, I will be with you at 8 o'clock in the morning, so long as I have been with you since 8 o'clock the night before. He said, no.
Well, Gordon, in the effort of one-upsmanship, let me offer you the beautiful Tammy Sack.
Oh, man.
Yeah,
fantastic.
If they offer a Michelle, we will offer Tammy Sack.
Well, I think you know your loyalties belong to the programming side, and I don't even like to say programming.
Do it up, but at 8 o'clock in the morning is a little early for me, unless it's going to be genuinely lethal. Well, Gordon, listen. If I thought I could actually kill some of the people over there, I'd be there in a heartbeat.
We are going to be in this paintball battle Saturday morning. I started paintballing with my son Bart. We love it. We love it. We have the camouflage. We have the guns. Mike and I have guns that I believe fire. What is it? 15 rounds per second. So we will have the most powerful...
15 rounds per second?
Yes, the most
fully automatic.
The most powerful paintball guns allowed by law.
Now, fully automatic means like a machine gun, right?
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic.
15 rounds per second. Think about it. That's 1,000.
That's 15 rounds.
Oh, that's true.
That's
so what we need is some advice. Because, you know, Mike and I, look at us. We're pacifists. We're peacenicks, for goodness sakes. But we want to win this battle. So we need some battle strategies.
All right. Now, where are you going to fight it, first of all?
At a big 3-acre paintball park.
I mean, is it a woods? Is it an open field?
I think it's a combination of, primarily it's probably open field. And they have big bales of hay that you will be hiding behind, and you'll be able to plot your strategy.
So it's an open field with obstacles.
We'll be playing capture the flag.
I understand now. Well, first of all, your camouflage has to be appropriate to the area. So, for example, if you're in a green open field, you know, khaki or brown camouflage is not going to do it.
All right.
But if you're going to be in like a wooded area, well, there's a lot of grasses and things like that, you want to get yourself really what is called a ghillie suit. You know what a ghillie suit is?
Absolutely not.
What is a ghillie suit?
A ghillie suit,
you can buy one by looking at the back of some of these men's survival magazines. What it is, it's a net that has had just tons of strips of burlap and things like that all on it. It's all different colors, all muted earth tone coloring. And you put a lot of brush and crap in it, and you can just sink right down, and you just look like a little boondock.
Robbie, give me one of those.
Get up you go, and shoot. Do ghillie suits for us. See? So that's one thing you can do. The other thing I was going to say is of course, get yourself the best one. Get a Magnum paint gun, if you can possibly.
I think what they've given us is
Magnum paint gun.
The
most firepower you can possibly
have. Well, yeah, but accuracy. I mean,
the hint is this. You look through the rear sight and concentrate on the front sight. You put the front sight at 6 o'clock on the target, assuming that this thing has some velocity. I don't know what the velocity is.
I think it's 200 feet per second.
200 feet per second. Okay. Well, that's we'll probably get it. That's kind of lobbing it at it, but it's all right. But concentrate on the front sight, looking through the rear sight. Use two hands.
What part of the body should we aim at, Gordon?
Center of mass.
Right in the middle of the body.
Yeah, right in the middle of the body. That way, you know, if you're a little high, a little low, you're going to get a hit anyway.
I heard you one time talking about. You're going to have to refresh my memory, and I hope I give you enough information where you can remember this. You were talking about some sort of a, it might have been in the South Pacific. It might have been an island nation where they went into battle and they were fighters, and they used some sort of leather.
This might help motivate
development of the FAME 45 semi-automatic, you know, government pistol.
All right.
Back in those, this was the Philippine insurrection.
Okay.
And
if you ever heard this, you're gonna love this.
They were fighting against what were called the Moros. They were the insurrectionists. They were called the Moros, and they were natives who had a tribal custom. They were fierce, fierce warriors. And what they would do, they would take a male warrior, and they would take fresh rawhide, which is wet.
Yeah, right.
And they would tie it tightly around the testicles of this guy.
Yeah.
Now, as it dried, it contracted.
It would shrink, right?
It would shrink. Right? And you shrink
wrap
your nut.
I remember you telling this one.
And of course, it caused excruciating pain.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when this guy is absolutely berserkers out of his mind with pain, they put a big machete in his hand, and they put you at the enemy and say, go.
That's what we need to do.
That's what we're going to do to you.
All right.
The army in those days had 38,
mm-hmm.
and those 38s, they'd hit him and hit him and hit him and hit him, and this guy keep right on coming and lopped their heads off. So they came back and they said, we need something that'll stop tomorrow.
And they came up with a 45?
The 45. 45, I don't care how much you got around your nuts. Boom, you're on your ass. That's it.
So, Gordon, officially, for the record, you are for the disc jockey team of this paintball
battle. Absolutely. What I want you to do is we're gonna play war. We're going to play really tough war. We're going to play like World War II and the Japanese. They were rousing. Now, what I want you to do is capture Michelle.
Okay.
You got it. Send her over to me for interrogation.
All right. Very good.
All right.
We will.
Gotcha.
We promise.
That's what it is.
One last thing, General Liddy.
Yeah. How do you pronounce the month of this, of which this is the first day? What is the correct pronunciation?
February.
Buzz Burbank.
February.
No, February.
February.
No.
February.
February. No, no. Buzz, would you pronounce it for February?
Buzz is right.
There you
Buzz
go.
Is correct.
There you go.
And now, how do you pronounce the BMW?
BMW. That's true.
Right, yeah. And Mercedes, that is?
Mercedes-Benz.
And Acura?
Acura.
Acura.
Ah, yeah.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Now, you wonder why I speak your language so well.
Well, you say RA.
All right, get out of here.
All right.
You're
okay.
General Liddy.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Message to the troops.
Our honorary general, he will be the field marshal back at headquarters when we do battle against the salespeople.
Thank you, Gordon.
In his trench coat today.
I thought you'd like that story about the rawhide. I always enjoy that.
We're going to need some rawhide for Buzz's nuts.
Yeah. There you go.
A very small strip.
Yeah, and Buzz, you know, starting today, probably just like Buzz always is going, wow, wow. And then as it gets drier and drier, it's like, wow.
So, Rob, you need to get me the rawhide for Buzz's nuts and also get those scarecrow suits that Gordon was talking about for Mike and I.
Ghillie suits where you put all the stuff. However, you know what we didn't ask him about? It's going to be, there probably is going to still be snow on the ground.
It's going to be almost 50 degrees on Saturday, though. We might have to get our ice stations deep.
That's what I was thinking. We might have to go with the all-white and maybe like cross-country skis.
Maybe like a return of the Jedi suit.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, with all-white just to, you know, hide behind the snow.
Well, listen, either way, the battle's on. We have General Gordon Liddy behind the good guys team.
Absolutely. And, you know, this is the stuff you're hearing on the air. Off air, who knows what kind of, you know, subversive tactics we can put into play.
And let's make good on that promise to deliver Michelle to him.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you keep that promise.
Okay. All right.
Me and Mike worry just about killing the enemy.
That's right. Killing it by aiming at the center of the mass.
Right. So that if you're high or low, either way, you get them.
I still am going to go for a few cross shots.
But I'll go for the head shot.
That's good.
Yeah.
Good. I wouldn't mind that, you know, with the little face mask and having it just go bleh.
Right. What I played before, the helmet that you wear leaves the back of your head exposed.
Mm.
So there's a chance, more than once I was actually hit in the back of the head, which turns your hair like all orange and stuff, and leaves a nice big welt right on the back of your head.
And the good thing about playing against the salespeople, a lot of those guys still have a pretty large soft spot.
They do.
Yeah, so, I mean, you could do some real damage.
Well, Saturday, that's when we're playing this game, the big paintball match, the big grudge match with us against the salespeople. We're going to be reviewing our team.
Yep.
And coming up with more strategy as the week goes on.
Oh, they'll be limping back to their BMV.
And I'm thinking about opening this up to the public.
Mm-hmm.
Because this place is a big paintball place.
Yes.
We're going to ask them how they feel about people coming out and watching the match.
A little spectator like the gladiators.
Early on Saturday morning. Good. However, the only thing that we would request, if it's okay with a client, if we open it up and give free admission to come in and watch,
mm-hmm.
everybody that comes has to root for our team.
Of course.
And if you're going to come watch, you got to make a sign.
Yes.
A sign that says, like, David Hayline is queer.
Sure.
You know, various slams at various members of the sales staff.
Already we're putting together our team of fine physical specimens. When Big Gum Jim came into the office earlier, right?
We recruited him.
Oh, my God.
I said, how desperate we are.
It's going to be quite a war.
And you know what, Rob? Even though technically you're going to be the reporter, you may have to strap on a weapon as well.
Yeah, strap on a gun. Yeah.
Need be.
We need every available body. And if nothing else, you will make a beautiful human shield.
That's good news.
Beautiful human shield. So big paintball match this Saturday.
Fantastic.
Our thanks to G. Gordon Liddy. Now let's take a couple of telephone calls. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello, Marilyn.
Hi. Listen, where'd you get that rabbit from? It's not rabbit. It's white rabbit. First thing in the morning before you put your feet on the floor, before you go take your morning whatever.
Now, honey, listen, there's variations of this.
It's the only one that works, though, and I know it works for a fact. Rabbit.
Now, are you saying you do this every morning, every day?
No, the first of the month, but you'll get a proliferation of all kinds of weird stuff happening if you just say rabbit.
I've been saying rabbit every day for...
Maybe that's why your life is so weird.
I can remember.
Do you remember where it comes from at all? Do you remember where you got it from?
Just when I was a kid.
Started it from when you were a kid.
When I was a kid, and as it turns out,
My wife also has done it most of her adult life. Her mother has done it most of her adult life.
She just says rabbit, rabbit, rabbit.
Rabbit, rabbit, rabbit. That's it.
Well, you get all kinds of strays in. You want white rabbit. If you say black rabbit, you'll have death in your family. You'll have doom and gloom all day.
Well, I prefer the non-color rabbit. I prefer just the generic rabbit, rabbit, rabbit.
Trick rabbit.
Can you say it like the Tasmanian devil? Can you go, rabbi, rabbi, rabbi?
I believe it. Any pronunciation's okay.
Okay, very good.
But you're always on the safe side as long as the first thing you say on the first day of the month is rabbit, rabbit, rabbit.
Well, just don't say it to another rabbit.
Bunny, bunny, bunny would do it.
Doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm telling you, it's rabbit, rabbit, rabbit.
All right, well.
The real deal. Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi, Don.
Hi, hello.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi.
You have the best voice in radio, Buzz.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Oh.
Listen, Don, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
What is tomorrow?
Wednesday.
Okay. How do you spell it?
W-E-D-N-E-S-D-E-E. Wednesday.
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 Why isn't it Wednesday?
You know, a very simple thought that I'm sure everybody has thought about this.
Wednesday.
You know, and it's always in everybody's mind. And, you know, I wonder that, too. What a weird, weird spelling for the name.
Well, that's, you don't have to worry about the spelling when you go with the Sonny Jurgensen pronunciation.
Wednesday.
Friday is F-R-I-D-E-E. Friday.
But, of course, if Sonny was doing it, it would be Wednesday. Wednesday.
Now, Sonny's in Wednesday.
Exactly.
This Wednesday.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello, Glenn.
Hey.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, you know, I got to disagree with your G-Man on the ghillie suit thing.
Oh, really? I think he's pretty much an expert when it comes to killing people.
Well, I haven't killed anybody, but I've been calling for about 15 years. You see, with the ghillie suit, the strips are going to hang out past the rest of your body. If the ball hits and pops on the strip, you're out.
What do you wear, like, in this Saturday, in the conditions we're going to be in, you know, half-melted snow, you got some mud, you got some snow,
right.
What would you wear?
I would wear standard camouflage BDUs.
I think that we should go with the gray cami.
Gray cami?
The gray and black camis.
The fact of the matter is, it's
cami jammies.
Cami jammies.
After about 50 feet, you turn into just a black image anyway. So it honestly doesn't matter what color you wear because you're so close.
I'm more concerned with surviving the elements than I am with my camouflage. I'd like to wear a one piece. You know, with feet and everything.
But they will have those available. Not with the feet. You'll have to wear boots.
Boots.
But they will give you, in essence, like a flight suit that zips up the front.
Oh, good. At the place?
At the place.
Oh, that's even better.
Yeah, they got it covered.
Great. Mm-hmm. Right.
100%. Thank you, Glenn.
Okay.
All right.
What time does, like, the flag drop and we actually have to head out to the field?
8 a.m. It's an 8 a.m. start, man.
Oh, jeez.
Come on.
Oh, God.
Oh, come on now.
That's too damn early for a war.
Hello. Don and Mike.
That is Black Vision.
Hello,
you guys are a couple of homosexuals. You know that?
Why?
You're a big, fat, Barney Rubble lookalike, no neck having, carrot-eating freak.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Well, what do you want?
Just wanted to say that.
Okay, right.
You know, we brought joy into his life.
Well, F you.
F you.
Well, F you. You want to talk to Homo Joe?
Oh, sure.
Hello, Homo Joe.
Homo Joe here, Don and Mike.
Not a Mike. Homo Joe here.
And I have on the line with us Joel, the blind date, as well.
Oh, you mean the guy that you were supposed to go out with last week on your blind date?
Yes, which we went out on last night.
Oh, you did go. You guys finally hooked up.
We finally hooked up. Indeed, we did.
Did you have gay sex?
No. No, we did not.
But you got along well?
Very well.
You two sound rather chipper.
Well, we're going to be... I'm bringing him on Wednesday with me.
Oh, bringing him... like bringing a new girlfriend to the Las Vegas-style show, huh?
Yes, might as well.
Well, that's good. Boy, you seem like you're very... You're cooing with anticipation.
Well, he's not a star, as Don would say. Well, bleep the word, but he's...
Star effer.
Yeah, he's not a star effer. He's a very nice guy, very, very kind, very gentle, and very good-looking.
Very kind. How do you know he's gentle?
Because he was very gentle in his restaurant, very sweet.
Joe, is your ass moist with anticipation?
Joel would have to say that. I don't know. What do you think, Joel?
I don't know if it's moist, but his hand on my knee certainly was an interesting indication.
Okay. For those of you who don't know, well, everybody knows who Homo Joe is. Well, last week, Homo Joe called the show, and this other guy, Joel, called up and said, hey, He's gay, and he was interested in Homo Joe.
Right.
And Homo Joe, in the space of 30 seconds, went from telling us that he's living a new celibate life to offering to meet this guy in the middle of a blizzard.
At the coffee shop.
At a coffee shop somewhere in downtown D.C. So they were, because of the weather, they were not able to hook up last week.
Right.
So
last night you guys went out, how was your dream day? Where'd you go?
I called him up yesterday afternoon and said, would you like to go to dinner? And we went to a gay steakhouse.
Is there really such thing as a gay steakhouse?
There is. Gay meat.
Just
guys.
Just for for those that are in the straight community, how does a gay steakhouse differ from a gay straight? From a
straight gay, they serve it with flair. It sizzles.
It does sizzle.
And the sauce is much saltier.
Oh, God.
Steak sauce.
Oh, God.
The saltiest steak sauce I've ever had.
Man.
So did you both eat meat last night?
Yes, we had both had, it was called a bull in the pan, as they call it.
A bull in the pan?
Uh-huh. It's basically marinated beef tips.
I'm surprised you didn't have the rump roast.
No, the rump roast was later.
we prefer the tips.
Really?
No kidding.
And I'm sure there were petite fillets on there, right?
Yes, I would say that.
How did the date end, Joe?
Well, we left and we stood outside for a minute, and Joe, you can tell him the rest.
Well, we did kiss.
Uh-oh. Was it a long kiss? How long did the kiss last?
A long time. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
A good hug. Yeah, a very nice hug. He's a very good hugger.
So you connected?
Yes. Yeah, mm-hmm. I'd say so.
Well, Joe, how come you didn't bed him immediately?
Because I'm still celibate.
You're going to do that for how long, Joe?
Till tomorrow night.
Probably.
Anybody want to side bet that Joe has gay sex with this guy tomorrow night?
Well, I know Joe's already in love with him. Joe falls in love with every boy. You know?
How much younger than Joe are you, Joel?
16 years.
16 years.
That's
right.
Perfect. That's perfect for him.
You know, Joe generally likes like a Batman Robin thing.
Absolutely.
Where Joe is like the age of Batman, uh-huh. And whoever his boy toy is like his youthful ward, the age of Robin, the boy wonder.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, really?
Slide down the bat pole. You know.
And I guess, Robin, or what is your first?
Do you want to visit the bat
Joel.
Game?
Joel, I guess you like older men, huh?
Actually, I have dated both older and younger guys. I don't have any particular type.
Oh, really? It's the person.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think we all want to know when the inevitable happens tomorrow night, who will be pitching and who will be catching?
Well, like any good team, all the outfielders also bat, you know?
All the outfielders also bat.
Yeah, you always play offense and defense.
There you go.
Being gay is so funny.
See, Joe is,
I'm sorry, guys. It cracks me up.
Joe,
I'll
be honest with you, Joel. See, Joe on previous occasions has always kind of indicated us that he doesn't like to play the outfield.
He's strictly a hitter. He likes to bat. He's the Mark McGwire of anal sex.
He's the designated hitter.
He's the Hank Aaron, if you will. He's the Babe Ruth of anal.
That's right.
But he did grab my button very caressingly last time.
Yeah.
Oh.
In the restaurant?
No, outside.
No.
Outside, on the street in front of traffic backed up on 17th Street.
I'm glad that didn't happen while you were swallowing your beef tip.
That's going to be happening tomorrow night, I believe. All right, well, Joe, bring your new toy to the Las Vegas-style show.
Will do.
Who is the celebrity that he most resembles, Joe?
Ooh. I can't. I've never been able to answer that question.
I would say Pat Bristow from Ellen Show.
Pat Bristow from the Ellen Show. You mean, has he got red hair?
Blondish red. Yeah, strawberry blonde.
Was he the gay guy that was on Ellen?
I think he was.
But was that the guy who... Was he gay on the show, Ellen?
On the show, and this guy interviewed during the...
I don't remember the Ellen show.
Okay, because, I mean, if you remember that guy was... I mean, he was way out of the closet.
Is that the guy who looks like Andy Dick?
No, he was really... He was just flame red hair,
right.
And I use the term flame.
The only guy I remember on the Ellen show was the guy who was, for a while, like, living with Ellen.
With dark hair,
yeah.
That guy.
No,
he was straight. He was straight.
Yeah.
There was another guy. This guy was like a side character, like a neighbor.
He was a dance instructor, I think, at one time.
these guys and their shows. All right, thank you. Get out of here. Goodbye, boys.
Bye.
See ya. Bye, Joel. Right. Bye, Joel.
Joe and Joel.
Here they are, America's cutest couple. Joe and Joel.
Well, I tell you, if Joel has any... any thoughts of that batting and catching thing. He's doing. And Joe knows how to whip his friends in the line.
They might want to make a stop by Rudy's nightstand.
Oh,
on their way to the show tomorrow night. Hello, Clay.
Yeah.
Clay in Spokane, Washington. Hello, my friend.
Hey, got some tips for you. Got to disagree with your son and his friends, the little kids.
Yeah.
Those are your key to winning. What you want to do is...
Who are you disagreeing with?
G. Gordon.
On what?
You don't want to use any military tactics.
Well, we're going to use 100% military tactics.
it doesn't work in paintball. You don't have any armor. Paintball...
You know, unfortunately, I got to go with Gordon Liddy because of his ability to get a complete sentence out of his mouth.
Goodbye. Goodbye. And yes, on our team, we will have Bart, who's quite good at paintball.
Excellent.
And he's also recruited, I think, Jarrett.
Okay.
From up the street, who's played paintball with us. And also, I think, Daniel, who's played paintball with us.
That's good. They have those little guys.
Yeah, we'll have three kids, and they're all
those little guys, because after about 20 minutes, I'll be like sitting on a stump behind the line.
Come on. Hey, Bart, use my gun. Hello, Mike from Northern California.
Hey, Sean and Mike, my radio prophets. How are you?
Hey, Bobby.
Oh, buddy. Now, Mike, the only way to survive in the frozen tundra, I think, would be to dress up in the puffy maroon suit like the kid from A Christmas Story.
Hey, guys, wait for me.
When the kid can't get on.
Wait for me, guys.
Your key to victory lies in the puffy maroon suit.
Oh, man. You know, when I saw that, yeah, I used to be, you know, when I was little, they used to dress me up in that kind of an outfit, throw me outside, and, you know, you couldn't get your arms back.
Can't move.
I think the other key to victory might be taking your paintballs the night before and placing them in your freezer.
Oh, no, listen. No, thank you. That is a little too hardcore for us.
For goodness sakes.
It hurts enough.
Broken like it's been done before.
Trust me, it hurts enough when you get hit at close range with a paintball.
I have played paintball once, and I did get hit, and it did leave a welt and got in the freezer. I mean, that turns it into like a rubber bullet.
Yeah, no, thank you. Hello, last call. Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike, the way to get around this is, do you have any of the old big satin puffy jackets?
Sure we do.
They act almost like body armor when you paintball. The puffier it is, the ball hits, the presses in the jacket, and just kind of falls off without breaking.
Really? You mean like a disc jockey satin jacket?
Oh, yeah, I understand what he's saying.
They also have in the military surplus stores. The green bomber jackets or whatever, they look like parachute material, and they're kind of puffy.
You know what? I got a jacket like that from that movie Independence Day.
They're down.
Like a flight jacket.
I understand what he's saying. Right. So the down and the soft, you know, lining of the jacket will serve as a buffer, and the thing won't burst on contact, right?
Pretty much, yeah. They have to be kind of further away. Point blank, it really doesn't matter too much. But, like, more than 15 feet away, they tend to hit and just roll off without breaking.
All right. Thank you, my friend. Listen, I just got the word. If anybody wants to come watch us, you can only come if you're going to root for our team, though. Nobody can come and root for the sales staff. You will not be allowed in if you're rooting for them.
Right.
We will be at a joint called Pev Paintball on Hanco Center Drive in Woodbridge, Virginia.
Yeah.
This Saturday morning at 8 a.m. We will be playing on one of these fields. The ditch field, the quarry field, the balloon field, the speedball field, or the competition regulation training field.
Competition regulation training field.
We will have our choice of 8 different courses. Cool. They have a variety of 8 courses.
Wow.
So that's Saturday morning, 8 o'clock. If you want directions, please call the area code 703-273-7732. They are nice enough to open the doors, let everybody come out and watch us cream the sales staff.
Just look for the van down by the river.
That is Saturday morning. Now, a chance for someone to win up to $10,000 happens right now.
Right now.
With the secret celebrity lap number 3.
Wow, it's been going on a long time.
It's been about a week since we gave away $10,000.
Yes, it has. I'd
like to give away some more dough now. Give you a shot if you're the 100th person to call the Rockhead, who we are desperately trying to replace, and we have to talk about that also. The telephone number is 1-877-365-3636. Good luck. Be the 100th caller right now.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
So just to pass along a quick thought about the paintball game.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
We have to get Wendell on our team.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, Wendell the engineer?
Yeah.
He's like one of those military militia guys. He's got about 1,000 guns in his house.
Yeah. Wendell's the kind of guy that would take it really serious.
And Wendell is the employee, I think. He's number one in the current pool as to who's going to end up on top of the roof with a real gun shooting at people.
Absolutely.
So Wendell Hall, if you're listening back in the engineering office.
We need you, Wendell.
We're drafting you for our team.
Yay. Hey. I got to put him in the freezer.
Wendell, I promise you we'll give you a very high-up position.
I have no idea they weren't supposed to be real bullets.
How would you like to be a sergeant? Staff Sergeant Wendell Hall.
Good.
And that's another thing. We all have to have ranks.
Yes.
I think, Mike, you and I, of course, will be generals.
No, I'm going to let you be the general because I want to have my father's rank. I would like to be a captain. I'd like to be Captain O'Mara. I just like the sound of
okay.
that.
Okay.
Captain O'Mara, you know, and, you know, I might even like wear his military insignia.
Oh, really?
I'm just into that. You know, there you go.
All right, and Buzz, I think that you,
Yes?
For goodness sake. Oh, hold on. This must be Staff Sergeant Wendell Hall calling in. Hello?
Hey, it's Wendell. My ears are burning. You ready?
Yeah, Wendell.
Wendell, we need you, Wendell.
Wendell, okay. Will you play paintball with us Saturday?
Yeah, sure.
Will you be on the good guys team?
Yeah, you got it.
Okay.
Got it.
Great.
I was listening on the monitors here. I don't have any sergeant stripes.
Wendell, just out of curiosity.
You got them now.
You do have some weaponry at home, right?
I don't have any paintball guns.
So, yeah.
But you have real guns, right?
I don't have any paintball guns.
Yeah. the people will hook you up with all the equipment you need.
Oh, cool.
All right.
Well, goggles and face masks and camo paint.
Take care of everything.
Cool.
We got a real survivalist here.
We got shovels and pikes for the tiger traps as well?
Sure, Wendell. Whatever, Wendell. Bring some freeze-dried fruit.
Cool. Have we got any recon on the field of battle?
We got the right man for the job.
Yeah, I don't know. We're going to be playing, I think, in the ditch field.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. We maybe should get some aerial recon, some topo maps, stuff like that.
That's a good idea. Excellent. You're the right man for that job.
You're in charge of that, Staff Sergeant Hall.
10-4.
Okay, bye. Over.
Over and out.
Bye.
Very good, General Geronimo.
Thank you, Captain O'Leary. And Buzz, let me see.
Yes?
Lieutenant? Is that too high up for him?
You know what? I do not have a problem with Buzz outranking me. I think you should make Buzz a full bird.
A colonel?
A colonel, yes.
Colonel Burbank.
Colonel Burbank. It has a nice ring to it.
Colonel like Burbank. It.
And, of course, Corporal Spiewak.
Oh, I said Private Spiewak. Not even PFC. Just...
Okay, sorry, Rob. I tried to get you that extra stripe.
Just busted down all the way to private.
What about Broyhill?
Maybe a corporal?
Corporal.
Hi, Corporal Broyhill. How you doing?
Lieutenant Broyhill. Corporal Broyhill.
And then it's Major Burbank. Colonel
Major
Burbank.
Colonel Burbank. Yes.
Captain O'Mara.
Right.
General Geronimo.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. I like that very much.
That's good.
And then what about Big
Daddy? You don't want Field Marshal. Field Marshal Geronimo.
Field Marshal Donald Geronimo.
There we go.
We're going with that, Field Marshal. We're going to be in a field. Oh,
sure.
How about Führer? How about Mein Führer?
That's after we win. Yeah, that's right. You'll be promoted after we win.
Right, then I'll write my book. You know, Mein Kampf. All right, the paintball game is on. Wendell's on our team. We're going to get our team together.
It's supposed to be actually a pretty nice day on Saturday.
It is, yeah.
I have to tell you what my wife did to me over the weekend.
Oh, and this is a pisser.
Mm-hmm. That I don't know how long she's been telling me that I have to clean out my closets and I have to clean out my cave, the one room in the house that I'm allowed to decorate however I like, the room with the TV, with the cigars and all that crap.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot to tell you, I got home yesterday from the Super Bowl, stopped at home, changed my clothes, came into work, and I thought something was weird when I took a shower and put my clothes on. And it wasn't until last night that I got home that I realized she had gone through, without my permission, and cleaned the closet. And when my wife cleans the closet, it's not like she just folded everything up neatly.
Mm-hmm.
She just disposed of half my clothes.
She throws stuff out.
She decided to give the Salvation Army.
Mm-hmm.
She's arbitrarily decided what she thought I wore and what she thought I didn't wear anymore.
Right.
And what my wife will never get about me is that I am a rat.
Right. Yeah.
I just love, I hate giving up anything.
And so the fact that the closet was wonderfully organized and neat and tidy
just made me mad.
It didn't matter because now are you aware of the things that were described?
Yeah, well,
were there things that you said,
for instance,
oh, my best, for instance, dog-eared sweater.
I will give you an example. I stood in the closet this morning and I said, where are my genie pants?
You know those things
we all wore like back in the 80s?
Yeah, right.
Oh, God.
Now, and I haven't worn them for 10 years.
Right.
But
you still have them?
I've got every second.
I've
got every piece of clothing I've ever owned in my life.
Genie pants, though.
And I said to her, where are my genie pants? She said, what are genie pants? I said, you know, they're those big puffy pants that tie around the waist. She said, oh, I gave those to Salvation Army. I'm like, oh, you're killing me.
Yeah, but you weren't going to wear them, though.
What are you doing?
It doesn't matter, though, that you weren't going to wear them.
I said, where's my WABC music radio sweater? She said, you've never worn that sweater. Honey, what are you doing it? She said, some homeless guy's wearing it.
Oh, my God.
I said, great. Some homeless guy's wearing my genie pants and my music radio WABC sweater.
Now, with the logos on it, I would think that that's kind of like memorabilia.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, that's,
yeah.
I got a
collectible. And then I went downstairs to my cave, to my TV room.
Right.
And to my horror, I went down there. She had completely reorganized everything.
Really?
On the one big wall with her bookshelves and stuff where I had virtually everything except books.
Did she touch the Star Trek videos?
The Star Trek videos are all still beautifully lined up. I have every episode of Star Trek The Next Generation.
That you'd ever watch.
On video cassette. I've never watched them. But I have every
episode. They're there for you.
In case of emergency.
And they will be there when the medium is antiquated. You know, when videotapes are no longer the main medium of choice.
You love pointing that. You love rubbing that in my face, don't you?
Well, when I go to your house, when I see that, it is always, to me, the most amusing. I love your cave, incidentally. I mean, I wish that, my little room at home was as nice is yours. You've got everything on the walls, and it's wonderful. I mean, it's great, but that's the one part of it where I look at that, and it always cracks me up because I see the Star Trek The Next Generation. I know you'll never watch them, and
no.
Then I'm just sitting there, and it's kind of, you got them there.
I just had to have them all. You join that stupid Columbia Record Club thing where once a month they send you a different episode of Star Trek The Next Generation.
Right, right.
In a fancy Star Trek box.
Mm-hmm.
I've got like 125 of these boxes just lined up on bookshelves in my cave.
It always struck me as your cave, as you describe it, the little TV room you have, is relatively neat, though. Well, of course, that's when we come over.
Yeah, well, no, it wasn't neat.
Really?
It really wasn't. And I walked in there last night when I got home, and it immediately, something was wrong.
Sure.
Something was different. And what she had done was, she had, first off, she replaced a chair. And I know last week you were talking about a certain chair that you have at home that your dog crapped on. And the chair that you've used so much that it has the oil stain.
Yeah, a head stain.
From your head.
Yeah, the chair that I'm afraid now. It's the chair that I bought from somebody in Frida's family, as a matter of fact.
Oh, from her brother?
Yeah. Yeah. Remember way back when we had that whole thing, that whole deal?
Right.
It's that chair, but I'm afraid the chair is... the chair, something's wanting me to get rid of that chair because my youngest on the Super Bowl, unfortunately, had a little accident.
So that was the same chair that your dog crapped on and chewed on, also
chewed
got
on, shredded,
on,
shredded it, and now it got puked on. I was looking at the chair, and I said, the chair is going to be, I don't know if I'm going to put it up by the curb or I'm going to take it to the dump, but the chair is, with a little tender, loving care, it could make a nice home, but it's recliner time, maybe this weekend for it.
Well, I called her in, and I said, what did you do here? I said, what's different in this room? She said, okay, first, I got rid of the chair that had the big oil stain from your head. Second, she said, I got rid of that carpet that we've had for the whole time we've been married.
She took a chair out, huh?
Took a chair out.
Oh,
she
God.
Took the carpet out.
Right.
I said, why'd you get rid of that carpet? She said, why'd you get rid of that carpet? She says, we've had that carpet for almost 20 years. Can you realize what that carpet smelled like? We've never had that carpet cleaned one time in 20 years. It's like an area,
yeah.
Like an area rug.
Okay, yeah. I mean, it's not wall to wall, but
no.
Like ripping it out, but it's been there a while.
It looked like a fake Persian rug.
Right.
You know, okay. One of those deals. Mm-hmm. She got rid of that. I said, and what did you do on the walls? She said, it's called drapery. why did you put drapes up?
She put another chair in there for you?
She ordered a chair.
Uh-huh.
So now there's just a hole where the chair used to be.
The chair that she got rid of, was that your primary sitting chair?
Yes, the number one television chair.
Okay.
Right? I see you throwing your hands up in the air. You know just what I'm saying.
I do know just what you're saying. That's, I don't
that
like
is.
This. You know I don't like this. One person, there's one
that's
person.
A violation.
I do not like to be on the side of, but that, to me, is not right.
Violation. And not to mention the fact that...
Don't you agree, Buzz?
I do, except don't you normally sit on that sort of couch thing? Isn't that where you normally...
That's what it is, Buzz.
Well, that's what you got rid
like
of.
Like a love seat.
That's your chair.
That's the one you sink down into.
Sure is. It's got
the dark leather upholstery on it.
Sure does. It's
not that I remembered it, but I kind of dug that chair.
Right. It's got the perfect curvature where my buttocks have been for the... I think I've had this chair for 7 years.
It's a chair in your cave that when I go into your cave, usually there's 3 or 4 people in there.
Mm-hmm.
I want to make sure that I've got one of the 2 positions on that.
Right.
It's a night.
It's so comfortable. How could you get rid of it?
It's in better shape than my recliner. If I'd known, I would have had her send it over to mine.
So then I said to her, I also had a basket mm-hmm. that had like post-it notes and Sharpies and lighters and cigar cutters and everything. I said, where's that? She said, in a drawer upstairs. I said, why is it in a drawer upstairs? She said, because you just had it in a basket. It was just sitting in a basket, and there was like wrappers for food items that were shoved on the bottom of this basket.
She went absolutely nuts while you were at the food.
The basket is everything. The basket is my life. So I spent most of the morning going through trying to mentally remember all of the items that are now out of my life forever.
So she pulled the, when she removed the chair, that would mean she pulled the chair away from the wall.
She did.
The only reason I bring that up is that I know that in the past you have discussed some of these issues.
There was not as much of a collection as there was when we moved from our old house.
No, like, complete sandwiches or anything like that.
Well, when we moved from our old house to this house, I think 7 or 8 years ago.
Uh-huh. That's behind the headboard, right?
We moved the headboard of the bed.
Oh, God.
There was everything from a big 40-ounce empty bottle of beer to enough toenails to make a necklace. Maybe a tooth.
Oh, God.
Like kernels of corn back there.
Couple of skeletons.
There's all kinds of crap.
No, I just pissed at her today. I said, how dare you throw my stuff away?
Did at least the one she ordered for you? Is it going to be, did you say, it looks pretty cool? Or?
I don't, you know what? What are you going to do? Show me a picture.
Is it going to be fabric or is it going to be leather?
It's going to be that pseudo leather like the other one is.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, but
I mean, a man has to have a leather chair.
But I like that chair. I like that stuff. She said, well, what about that big oily spot? I said, well, you're talking about 7 years of slumping down, letting my head go back against that particular spot of the couch.
That's true.
And
you can get rid of that.
That was the spot. You tell me how. I tried with Armor All.
You got to, like, recondition the... You can't clean it. You have to, like, totally recondition the leather. And I think you can do it with, like, a total refinishing of the... You know, it's like refinishing a piece of furniture.
I tried, and when I tried to clean it about a month ago,
my 2 chairs at home look up. You've got a permanent black oozy mark there.
I actually scrubbed some... I was using Armor All trying to clean the oil spot
that might try, yeah.
off this chair. I asked scrubbed so hard that actually went through
the color of the
went all the way through. Made a hole in it. There's a hole big enough to put your finger in.
Well, maybe then it's time.
Never time.
You can always throw your new upholstery on it, though. You know, that's the
thing. I hate that. He's done that before. I hate that. Because then when you sit
listen
down
to me, I'm telling you that, but I'm not doing it to the one that was totally with the puke and the dog pee and everything else.
When you sit in a chair that has been reupholstered, if you slightly move, generally, though, it's like pulling the covers up on a bed.
I want to go on record saying
the whole fabric thing moves.
Right. I want to go on record saying, when I talk about my daughter getting sick in the dark, it's not like I don't clean these things. I immediately tend to them. It's not like it's, look, the kid puked on the recliner. That's that. You know, I do make an attempt
to
clean
good
it. It's just, it's banged up and marked, and I got stuffing hanging out of it and stuff, and it's just, it's time. It's time to go.
Hello, Steve.
Oh, now, here's a guy. Listen,
I've known you were throwing yours away.
I didn't know I was throwing mine.
One man's trash.
Hello, Steve.
Hey, Don Mike.
Hey, buddy.
My brother. My ex-wife used to do that to me all the time. Yeah. I saw that problem.
What was the problem? What'd she do?
She kept taking stuff out of my closet and throwing them away without my permission.
Right, without your permission, correct.
Exactly, without asking. So I started sticking mouse traps in the pockets of stuff.
sir.
Well, see, I can't try that. I can't do that with Frida.
It's funny when you say, with my permission. I was at a party a few weeks ago, and there were a bunch of these women standing around, and my wife was, like, in one corner of the room. And one of the women had a navel ring,
uh-huh.
And it was, you know, and it's like our contemporaries and stuff. It was kind of cool. And I was standing around a group of women, and I realized when it came out of my mouth how stupid it sounded. I said, I'd let my wife do that.
I said it
just saying, you know, hey, I think I was trying to communicate, hey, that wouldn't really bother me that much.
But I think it's
kind of sexy and kind of neat. Look, and as soon as I said it,
no,
I knew
the right thing.
You know when you say something like that.
You grant your permission for that.
I felt like this guy. And immediately, this woman standing across, she goes, oh, you'd let her do that, huh? And I'm like, see you later, girls.
Yes, you would
grant permission for that.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Sean, hello.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, the guy on the Sopranos, the one henchman, not the guy that tries to look at, like Al Pacino.
You mean, what's his name from Bruce Springsteen?
Yeah, that's what I was commenting on. I saw that video of Glory Days the other day.
Didn't you just figure out that guy...
Well, you know, I'm from the 80s generation. I hadn't seen that video for a while.
You just figured out... What's that guy's name?
Van Zandt.
Yeah.
Stevie Van Zandt.
Yeah, I didn't realize he was... Is he an actual musician or is he just an actor?
To be perfectly honest with you, little Stevie Van Zandt, of all the characters on The Sopranos, little Stevie Van Zandt is the one character I can do without on that show.
He's all right.
He's all right. Yeah. I mean, but he's not like when I always feel like he's pushing it too much, you know, doing the... With that mouth thing that he's so good.
Yeah, but he doesn't have a big part.
That's right.
He tries to look like Pacino and act like Pacino.
He did that in one episode.
I don't think he tries to look like Pacino.
No. In the one episode this year, he was doing the thing where when Pussy came back,
right.
They had him do the scene from The Godfather.
Oh, The Godfather.
Right.
Yeah, they're always quoting the movies.
Right. Well, that's true. Okay. Well, thanks a lot. You guys are great.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Yeah. Bye-bye. Thank you for that bullet. Stevie Van Zandt used to be in Bruce Springsteen's band.
Which one of the henchmen is he?
I love Don and Mike. Henchmen, that's like what the Riddler used to have on Batman, right? The thing I love about the Batman TV show is that when the Riddler and the Penguin had henchmen, they all had wacky names that they had right on their shirts, like the Mickey Mouse, Mouseketeer.
I remember. Better to be identified by Batman.
Hello, Susan.
Hey.
Hey.
My husband has had the same recliner for about 8 years. That chair has been through hell and back, and I'm no better than to touch it.
Is 8 years like... Isn't that, like, okay, though? I mean, 8 years is cool, right? Seems all right.
I'm trying to think how long I've had mine. I've had mine for probably 5, 6.
This chair, which is now out of my life, was 7.
Okay.
7 glorious years. My ass hitting that chair every night. Every night.
It has been through 2 kids, 2 grandkids, cats, dogs. And we have a table.
That's a great story. Thank you.
Thank you. Hello, Don and Mike still. Hello.
Thank you.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Don. With regard to the jacket, the former caller said the military jacket that's kind of puffy. I have an extreme cold parka from the military that's never been worn that I'm willing to offer to you to wear during your paintball fight.
Well, Mike, what do you say?
I think you'd love it.
No, I think you'd love it.
No, I have a perfect coat for the battle.
So do I, unfortunately.
It's 3/4 length.
Thank you.
You know, Buzz might want it.
No, actually, I think I'm set, but thanks anyway.
Ron. Thank you, though.
Ron?
No problem.
Yeah. No, thank you.
Thank you
for the offer.
Thanks anyway.
Generally, anytime we get an offer for some kind of used clothing,
yeah, it starts like that, and then it's meet me behind the office depot at midnight.
Hello. Don and Mike Show.
It is.
Oh, goodbye, sis. Hello. Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hey, Don, Mike.
I know that whole routine already. Jizz rhymes with jizz. Hello.
I was wondering if there's any way you could set me up with Jeff.
You're not gay, though.
I am gay.
No, you're not. You're a kid. How old are you?
I'm 29.
Well, my kids can be gay.
Mm-hmm.
Haven't you learned that yet?
Yes, I have.
Don't you ever watch Jenny Jones?
Yes, of course. I should have memorized that episode.
Our topic today is okay to be gay in high school.
Okay to be gay.
Hey, you know who really preaches? Who I'm getting really sick of?
No.
He's such a prick. Is Montel. Mm-hmm. I hardly ever watch Montel's show.
That's Montel. I want Joe.
I saw the logo in the corner of the screen today, and it was... my daughter wants to be a stripper.
Mm-hmm.
So I stayed with her on Channel 9 for a while.
Right.
And like a 15-year-old girl come out who's had implants and stuff. And mm-hmm. She dances for the crowd.
Mm-hmm. And it gives you a big cheer and all that.
And then the mom comes out. And I don't mind when people in the crowd stand up and scream at the people on stage. Mm-hmm. That is generally the way those shows are formatted.
Right.
But what it ends up being is Montel Williams sitting there. Like
are you guys going to hook me up with Joe or not?
No. He's like in the finger pose. Okay?
Right, right.
He's sitting on this couch. He's just got his knuckles under his chin. He just looks at me and goes, how can you do this? Don't you know what you're doing with your life? Don't you know what you're doing with your life?
Didn't he marry a stripper?
You won't have your body forever.
I don't know.
Don't you know that?
Didn't Montel Williams marry a stripper?
Yes, yes. Yes, he did, as a matter of fact.
Johnny, you know, Johnny Hippocrito.
I just don't like those guys to lecture.
Right.
Listen, be honest. That's one thing I've always admired about Jerry Springer.
Mm-hmm.
I said this is the first day Jerry Springer's show went on the air.
Right.
At least he's the only guy who's honest enough to say, you know what? You want a freak show?
Yeah.
Here, you want midgets marrying midgets?
Here are the freaks.
Here they are right here. I'm bringing you this show, and I'm not telling you it's bad. I'm not telling you it's good. I'm just bringing you this show.
Well, it's so disingenuous, too, when they do it on that show. You know, they bring out the idiot that wants to, you know, the mother and the daughter. You know, what kind of, you got to figure what kind of brains are going to go on television anyway with this life story. And then, you know, you got the captive audience, and she's sitting there. But it's just too easy. You know what I mean? It's too simple. It's too, it's too contrived.
Just let it happen, Montel.
Right.
Don't lecture. Just let it happen. We all know the girl's wrong for stripping,
mm-hmm.
and everybody in the audience is going to stand up and yell at her and tell her she's stupid.
There's only one person that I like to hear lecture.
Who's that?
Geraldo. Geraldo can lecture anytime he wants.
Yeah, but he does it better.
Well, I love that, Geraldo.
And then I watched Maury Povich for a minute.
Hi.
Here's Maury Povich's format. I think they've all kind of found their own niches now.
Right.
That Jenny Jones either does teenage girls who want to strip or makeovers.
Okay.
That's Jenny Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Montel Williams, he still pretty much sticks with families in turmoil.
Right.
Sally loves cheating men, cheating women, incest. That's Sally.
Mm-hmm.
Maury, however, he's the Jack Diamond of the talk show world.
Yeah, he will take advantage of the human beings with infirmities, human beings with terrible diseases.
Today it was special kids having special days.
Right.
And these kids, these poor goddamn kids, it's like crippled kids, little kids, and they had a kid who had never walked.
Mm-hmm.
The little girl's about 5 years old. And she, as a matter of fact, she was in one of those things like the guy in The Sopranos had to be in.
Okay, right.
The guy that
right.
got run over by the car. So
mm-hmm.
She was in one of those deals where she was in a wheelchair, but she had like the pins.
Screws in her mm-hmm. skull to stabilize her neck, probably,
right.
in her spine.
And she couldn't talk.
Right.
And for a half an hour, they wheeled her around an amusement park where they said, hey, look, there's a roller coaster.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't that look like fun?
Mm-hmm.
And you look back at the girl's face, and you know, she was not able to emote anything.
So you don't know really what she's thinking, but obviously she's got the capacity to think.
And I'm watching this, I think, well, this is cruel that you got a little girl who's never walked in her life, and you bring her to an amusement park, and you set her in front of a roller coaster, and you go, hey, doesn't that look like fun? Well, guess what? You can't do it. But the whole thing is built on the big surprise. Maury's got a big surprise for her at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And so, the very end of the show, he says, all right, are you ready? We are here at King's Dominion or whatever amusement park they're at. Behind me, and he steps away, and it's a big souvenir stand. He goes, every beanie baby available at this park, and you can have what? Ever one you want.
One.
Which one?
One.
Which one do you want?
God.
Now, then they pan to the little girl, and they have to have 500 different beanie babies.
Right.
And in the corner, it says, you know, special kids, special time. So then the mom says that she wants, like, the rainbow hippopotamus or
right.
whatever. So then Maury goes, and out of 500 of these things, he picks one of them out.
Incredible generosity.
Picks it over.
And now with that incredible value of the beanie babies, you know, now that they've lost all their value.
So that's the special day for the special kid. Take the kid to an amusement park,
mm-hmm.
push her around in front of all the rides that she can't go on,
right.
mm-hmm. then pull back the curtain on thousands of beanie babies and let her pick out one.
Yeah, you just get the impression later. He said, okay, we put that one in the can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Special times for special kids.
That's as insincere as, you know, as Montel lecturing the girls on stage. It's a similar type of thing.
It is.
Two different styles.
Two different tacks, but they've all got their own different thing. And Queen Latifah is somewhere between
Heaven
and the heaven, okay. In my humble opinion. I am.
Speak for yourself.
All right. Oh, man.
Queen Latifah does have...
I like Queen Latifah.
She's got... two big things going for
her. She does. I just, there's something about her.
She's got some jugs on her, man.
She does. She's got great jugs.
Really huge jugs.
And she's just, I like her. I mean, I know she's not the typical talk show host, but there's just something about her that I like. I mean, I just say I like you. What you see is what you get.
I've not been able to put a handle on her exactly.
It's not easy.
What
to
her show is like, because sometimes she's just
having she's at the early stages of doing a talk show. She's having a good time. I don't think she's found what her niche is yet. And it's just fun to watch because she seems like she's really up there having a good time.
I don't think she has the freaks on though.
No,
like Jerry Springer, and I don't think she has like
she does
the
guys makeovers,
who are,
I think
the guys who are cheating on their wives like Sally,
right?
Who love is that's Sally Jesse Raphael.
Mm-hmm.
Whole show right there. If you can find some guy who's banging another girl and then stupid enough to go on TV and admit it to his wife.
Yeah, really.
That's her whole show right there.
Sally ought to have a show, you know, My Face Is Not My Own, you know, and just all of a sudden you see a couple of zippers, you know, she unzips her face and, you know, she like peels it away and it's like, it's a lizard on the thing.
Have you seen her new age glasses that she's wearing too?
She's just not fun to look at all.
Oh, Christ.
Not one bit. This is television. Get somebody a little easier on the eye.
Sally.
Hi.
As we start our 13th season of Sally.
Oh, you know, speaking of television, and you know, unfortunately, the plane crash, the Alaska Airlines plane crash last night, I turn on CNN, and let me just make this is a request of everyone at CNN. When there is a major breaking...
Hi.
I'm going to ask as many questions as I can.
So the deal is this, that because the plane crashed about 8 o'clock, at 9 o'clock,
right.
Instead of going to... real news programming.
Which they need, or, you know, and especially on CNN, getting a real anchor person,
right.
A real journalist, somebody who knows, they have,
hi, it's Larry. So because he's there, he gets to do Larry King Live, except he thinks he becomes like a quasi-anchorman,
and it's
right?
horrible.
Right.
His questions are, when I'm listening to him do this, I'm listening to a guy that is not really listening to the answers. He's thinking about his next question. That's all he cares about, is getting his next question on. He has a diver on that, I guess, worked the TWA crash, one of these
right.
sea divers. That they go down and it's recovery, which they're basically, right. their job is recovering bodies. And he's interviewing this guy, and halfway through the interview, he says, do you miss it? Oh, I swear to God, do you miss it? And the guy goes into this, like, five-minute sermon on Larry. Go, well, you know, I'll tell you right now, you never miss what he
does. Do you miss diving after dead people?
And then Larry, in pure CYA mode after that, because the guy launches into this five-minute, Larry, you know, it's not something I ever want to have anything to do with. No, I mean, do you miss, like, diving? Do you still go on deep-sea dives? You know, you moron. You complete and total moron. And
do you miss it?
The thing is, Larry, he said the questions were all...
Hey, just down.
Go. Every question, you know, everybody that he had on, you know, can you train for this?
Yeah, but now we bring another guy in.
Hi.
What'd you like to be one of the families?
Oh,
someone who is on that,
really, absolutely.
Someone who's on that airplane. And you say, let's turn on CNN, you know, to see if Uncle Bill is down. And you
right.
think you see Larry King going... do you miss it?
Yes.
Do you miss it? Can you train for this?
You know,
Jesus, I want to ask you something. Have you ever tried peanut butter on a bagel?
Oh, it's a nutritious snack when you're diving for dead people. I was about as mad as I've ever been. I was yelling at the television because, I mean, it's like Larry King. They're supposed to be getting information. You're supposed to be asking journalistic questions. Just get the information.
Hi.
This is Larry King. And he's doing the interview like he's interviewing Jerry Lewis.
Do you miss it?
Have I told you that on the 25th anniversary of CNN, I'll be up there with Ted Turner the night before my style? Birth.
Hello, Keith.
Hey, Dynamite.
Hey, Keith.
What's going on, brother?
Hey, my friend. Hold on. Is this Keith, the guy we sent to David Letterman?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a big man.
Hey, big man.
Somebody said you need somebody to do a little profile for you for that 60-second thing.
Oh, man. Oh, my God.
The Westwood One thing?
Yeah.
The moving.
Oh, boy. You might be perfect. I think there's a guy here already, but how far away are you from us, Keith?
I'm in Manhattan.
Oh, he's a good ways out.
Yeah, well...
But I mean, you know, if a guy don't pan out or something, I'll on the radio and I'll come on down.
Stay tuned, big man. We'll let you know.
All right, partner.
All right, thank you.
Right on, buddy.
I think we got somebody here already for a Westwood One promotional video.
I think that's... that guy, though, we remember him. We did send him up to Letterman. He's one of the big men club.
I sent these two guys, and each weighed about 400 pounds a long time ago, up to Letterman.
Right.
We had tickets for the show, and one of them painted on his chest Don,
mm-hmm.
and the other one painted Mike. And when Letterman came out to do his monologue,
right,
these guys stood up in the audience and took their shirts off. Now, they never got on television.
Right. But we saw Letterman's monologue, and you could tell that he saw them because of his reaction.
You
were, Will you sit down, please?
Listen, there is a guy here. I see it on the screen now. There is a guy here.
Okay.
Let's break and come back. We will make our promotional video for Westwood One that involves a guy's ass.
We could tell you all about our show, but we'd rather let one of our listeners say it.
Be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is Sports 1140.
It sounds like, that's not that.
There it is right there, and that's $1 million he paid for that house.
And real estate's very expensive out there.
That looks bigger than that.
Man, it looks a lot bigger than that. Okay,
it does. And I don't begrudge Julie Louis-Dreyfus.
Yeah.
He was on Seinfeld.
Yeah, that mega hit, and they all made lots of money.
She has an 8,000-square-foot beach home that she paid $2 million for.
Yes, she deserves it.
It's not until we get to Kenny Loggins that I start getting mad.
Okay. Why are you getting angry at Kenny Loggins?
Because Kenny Loggins has a $4 million French chateau.
Okay.
Once there, he chills out in front of one of the five fireplaces in his 5,000-square-foot castle.
He has a castle.
Now, why does Kenny Loggins have a castle?
Yeah. Because of the recording thing, the royalties, because he just...
He's not that popular, does he?
Well, he had enough.
Footloose was not that popular.
He had enough. Hey, the house at Pooh Corner, come on.
Okay, how about... I'm just trying to get you mad here.
Okay.
How about Paul Hogan?
Oh, now you're making me mad, yeah.
Crocodile Dundee.
Right.
He has a $2.5 million mansion on 1.2 acres. His home is 5,000 square feet, which features 14 bedrooms, 8 fireplaces,
God,
and 2 pools.
Well, that's crazy. He's got to sell Subarus to do that.
Okay.
That's all he does now, right?
Just the commercials, right?
Rob Lowe.
You're really going to be pissed at this.
Rob Lowe's home? $7 million English country manor.
Wow.
Rob, his wife, and their sons relax in the 6-bedroom, 16,000-square-foot palace, which features a cigar bar and a garden teeming with pear trees and red roses.
Oh, there you go.
How come Rob Lowe is living in a $7 million house?
I thought he's been a character actor on something like Wayne's World, but I didn't know he was making that kind of dough.
He's a regular on the West Wing now, a very popular show.
But yeah, that. $7 million worth?
Well, Wayne's World.
I guess he's been a star for a long time.
Right.
Then you have John Cleese. He lives in a $2 million house. Jeff Bridges has a $7 million house.
Mm-hmm.
Tim Matheson, who was one of the guys in Animal House.
Way back when, right.
He has a $2 million house.
So all you have to do is, be in one hit movie, right?
Apparently.
He's never left out in the cold with a heated pool and 4 fireplaces set on 2 acres of rolling hills.
Jeez.
Right. Marcus Allen.
Well, major, super Hall of Fame guy.
Mm-hmm.
$2 million for his 4-bedroom estate.
That's what I'm going to call him, too. Hey, you're a major, super Hall of Fame guy.
And after he paid $2 million for his 4-bedroom estate, he spent $2 million more in renovations to make it 7,000 square feet.
That's a rich guy when they do that kind of thing. That's super rich.
How did he have that much money? I know he was a football player. He was a football player before football players made lots of money.
Didn't he do a lot of commercials, though?
I guess.
They throw money at those guys.
Doing Nicole Simpson or something? Remember that story that
I think there were rumors about it.
Was a story.
Right. Okay, then let me see. All right, Carol Burnett. I don't begrudge her this.
Are there any real, super deluxe a-holes on that list?
What, you mean more than Kenny Loggins and Rob Lowe and
more than
Paul Hogan?
Yes, more than any of those guys. Do you have a Steve Gutenberg on there?
No, Tim Matheson would be the equivalent of Gutenberg.
Okay. Uh-huh.
However, I was surprised to read about Dennis Miller's home.
All right. I bet it's not all that elaborate.
And that's what I would think about Dennis Miller also.
You think he's kind of a down-to-earth guy. But then again, you have to factor in the 1-800 commercial, which is, you don't sell out any more than that.
The comic commentator film base is seriously family-oriented. The ex-Saturday Night Live cast member plunks down $8 million for the gated ranch on 4.76 acres... with a playroom and a football field for his two boys.
A football field.
Football field. $8 million.
Wow.
Dennis Miller's house. Dennis Miller, a guy who wears blue jeans, and drinks a bottle of water when he's on television.
I know.
Has an $8 million house.
Wow.
Kathy Ireland.
Oh, yeah.
She has a $1.2 million mansion.
I want to go.
She should.
I want to visit.
Let me see. Tab Hunter.
It's like a million. Now, wait a minute. Now, wait. That is so long ago. You know, you don't know what these people have done after they were famous.
Right.
They might have invested well or gone into real estate or something.
The 50s teen idol has a stunning white Spanish-style estate, which features lavish, separate guest quarters, set on 2 acres of lush landscaping, including palm trees.
Mm-hmm.
He paid $2 million in 1997. Where the hell is Tab Hunter coming up with $2 million for a house?
Do you think that he had another house that he sold and made a profit on him and bought? But I mean,
I'm sure.
I don't know.
Unbelievable amount of money.
Kirk Douglas.
Yes.
Who's fries are these?
Kirk Douglas paid $1.8 million for his home that has a golf course and an ocean view. But he's an old man. I don't begrudge him that.
Right.
You mean the view of a golf course? It's
no,
like Kenny Rogers.
No, it has a golf course.
His own golf course.
His own golf course.
Oh, man.
He's almost dead. Yeah, right. He's almost dead. Let him have a golf course. Right. Jonathan Winters.
Oh, now he's funny.
He has a $3 million French-style mansion.
He looks like in the middle of a room.
On 3 acres. And now the two-story house with 4 bedrooms is just the way he wants it. And that's all. But
I think you're going to Jonathan Winters' house, and it would like be all like sandboxes,
toys.
toys all over the place.
Kenny Loggins? Kenny Loggins with a $4 million house?
Well, you're the guru of music.
He ain't that popular, man.
Think of the hits that he had.
I can think, This Is It.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. House at Pooh Corner.
Right.
Footloose.
Right.
Whenever I Call You Friend.
Right.
Your mama don't dance and your daddy don't rock and roll.
Isn't that enough to make that kind of money?
$5 million, 20 years later?
His body of work with Jim Messina.
Yeah, that's why I had your mama don't dance.
Right.
That is their body of work.
Loggins and Messina.
Right? Yes, one song.
I'm All Right from Caddyshack. He also did Danger Zone, which I hated, from what was the airplane?
Top Gun.
Yeah, and the sequel to Top Gun, he did a song for that as well.
But still, I'll give him, let's say he's had 10 hit records. You can turn 10 hit records into a $4 million house?
And he was on Dharma and Greg.
Isn't it in the music business, if you have one great album,
yes, but
you're set for life.
Only if it's a song that gets played repeatedly over and over again, so you get the ASCAP BMI.
Well, that would be that would be Footloose. Because I mean,
on
every classic rock station song you ever heard.
Oh, please!
You're Footloose.
You do not?
Sure you do.
There is not a classic rock station that plays Footloose. The only station that plays Footloose is like Q107.
Well, but you hear that song a lot. You hear that song quite a bit.
No, you don't. It's not one of the highly rotated songs being played in America now. Really, Kenny Loggins is no icon. And Footloose is in nobody's
Power Gold rotation.
He's had a lot of hits, though.
Maybe 10 hits.
Well, maybe that's solid takes.
10 hits, really.
It's really pissing you off.
It really is.
You were never a big fan of Kenny Loggins.
No.
Were you a big fan of him when he was, when he was at his Zenith?
Nope.
Never.
All right, I got him for you. Here you go. Whenever I Call You Friend.
All right.
This Is It.
Mm-hmm.
Both songs, incidentally. Piece of crap. Keep the Fire. That one doesn't count. Chart position 36.
All right. All right, so that's two you've got so far, two big hits.
I'm All Right from Caddyshack.
3.
Don't Fight It. Kenny Loggins with Steve Perry.
Don't make that count. Where did that chart?
27.
I don't think that counts.
Heart to Heart.
I don't know. This is H.
Says
he's Quartz.
Chart position number 15. I never heard of it, though.
We're not going to count it, then. That's only 3.
Welcome to Heart Life. Chart position number 24.
Is that an E.T. song?
No, that was Neil Diamond had that.
That was Heart Life.
Get out of your heart life.
What the hell is Welcome to Heart Life?
I don't know.
I've only got 3.
Footloose.
That big hit.
That was number 1.
Huge radio.
Yeah, you're an old boy.
I'm Free.
You do not know that.
I'm kidding.
You weren't the first time.
Well, I have heard the song. Frequently.
Right. I'm Free. Heaven Helps the Man. Chart position number 22.
I got 4. You mentioned 4 that I'm putting down as solid.
Vox Humana. You ever heard of that?
Yes, I have, but I don't think it's a big hit.
Number 29. Forever. Charted at number 40.
Mm-hmm.
Danger Zone. I'll give you that. That was a
there
hit.
There you go. It's five mm-hmm. mega hits.
Meet Me Halfway. From the Sly Stallone movie Over the Top.
No.
Is that the arm wrestling movie?
Hey, wait a minute. Hold on. Hold on a second. I'm just now figuring out what it is. It's the movie stuff. That's why it's not just having hit records. It's having hit records associated with major motion pictures.
Yeah, you know what?
That's where he's made all his guilt.
You're right. You may have it because he had he had it in the movie Caddyshack.
Right.
Footloose. Top Gun.
Mm-hmm.
Caddyshack 2. And Over the Top.
Right.
And then Loggins and Messina. Your mama don't dance and your daddy don't rock and roll.
Okay. Yeah, and the House of Pooh Corner.
Never charted, Mike. It wasn't listed.
Winnie the Pooh doesn't know what to do. Got a honey bear on his nose.
Someone should scale the wall and shoot him tonight. Based just on that song.
You know, it's every day I find out someone that you hate. And I did not know that you hated Kenny Loggins. I always thought...
I didn't hate him.
In fact,
until I found out he lived in an $8 million house.
Right.
Oh, up until I read this in the Globe, I was all right with him.
We have to pen a song for a movie. That's what we have to do.
That's the secret.
That's the key to say. It's not just having a hit record. Because a hit record, you know, I mean, hit records
come and go.
They come and go. Artists,
you don't really make any dough off.
You don't make the money. But if you associate yourself with a movie, that's the big deal.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
I just wanted to let you know that for your event on Saturday,
yes,
they make paintball landmines.
All right, thank you, sir. A little off topic right now, though. Hello, Adam.
Don, Mike, buddy.
Hey, buddy.
How you doing, man?
We're great.
I know why Kenny Loggins has so much money.
Why?
He co-wrote Doobie Brothers songs.
Uh-huh.
What Doobie Brothers songs did he co-write?
China Grove, Blackwater.
Wow.
This Is All Right.
Jesus, oh, really? Is Just All Right?
Yeah.
He co-wrote that?
Uh-huh.
All right.
Him and Michael McDonald, man.
All right. It's getting you more annoyed, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
What can you do?
It is. I hate to think of a wimp like Kenny Loggins having anything to do with a great band like the Dubious Brothers. That's
well,
pretty incredible.
I'm telling you, man, he's just a good songwriter. You got to give him that.
And Blackwater is my all-time favorite Doobie Brothers, right?
Yeah, and Blackwater's not overplayed too much by radio.
I never hear it.
Not in my show.
Hey, is Rockhead playing in your paintball game?
Yes.
Can he just wear a jock strap and that's it?
No, two words for you about Rockhead playing in our game. Those words are friendly fire.
Yeah, cool.
Hello, Don and Mike. Rob, hello.
Hey, also I think about the Kenny Loggins money thing. Footloose just went on Broadway.
That's right, it did, so he's making money from that.
I think he is a
pisser, man. You know, if I'm thinking, like, putting this together in the back of my mind, that Kenny Loggins is kind of one of those Michael Bolton merchandising machine guys that really do.
Exactly. He's done all the songwriting that might not actually, you know, he has sung himself.
And, of course, there is his full line of artificial beards.
This is Leo. He gave us Danny's song.
Danny's song,
yeah,
that's right.
Although Ann Murray had the hit.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Prolific
hey,
songwriter.
Hi, Mike.
Hello.
That's in the royalty check.
Did he do the windshield wiper song?
Hey, you know what I received in the mail today?
What?
Speaking of royalty checks.
Oh, you got your Babylon 5 check?
Yes, I did.
So did I.
I'll tell you something right now. I've never been more proud. $4.
That's
right. Actually, $3, I think.
Yeah, it's like $3.90.
Oh, boy. I was ready to frame it.
What is the windshield wiper song?
Don and Mike, Driving My Life Away.
Eddie Rabbit.
That's Eddie Rabbit.
Was that Eddie Rabbit?
Yes.
I'll hang up now.
All right, goodbye. Eddie Rabbit is no longer with us.
Right.
Brother of Jessica. Now, you wouldn't have been mad if Eddie Rabbit moved into an $8 million house.
No, he's deserved it.
Of course.
Eddie Rabbit. Ooh, I'm driving my life away. Was a love rainy night. I love rainy night. Now, there's a major talent. And you know what Eddie Rabbit's living in right now? A casket.
Well, you paid tribute to him when you woke up this morning.
That's right. Rabbit, rabbit, rabbit.
All right, now, if you're so special, do a Kenny Loggins medley.
Hey,
hello.
You. Hello. All right, hold on. Listen, here's one way to end this discussion very quickly. We have Kenny Loggins on the phone.
Very good.
Excellent. Hey, Kenny.
Hello.
It's Kenny Loggins.
Yes.
Hi. Kenny, how you doing? We're big fans of your... Well, Don's not a big fan, but I kind of like your music.
Yeah, how you doing?
Kenny, how do you spell Footloose?
Footloose?
Yes.
H-F-L-O-T. Loose. L-O-C-H.
Perfect.
All right.
Footlock.
All right.
Hey, can you sing a little of one of your hits for us? Your mama. How about your mama don't dance and your daddy don't rock and roll?
Eddie got the record there.
Why don't you sing a little Footloose for us, Kenny?
Gates of Hell.
If you got the record there, Mr. Don.
No, it goes, Kenny, you know, it goes, your mama don't dance and your daddy don't
rock and roll. If you don't, daddy don't dance and your daddy doesn't rock and roll.
Kenny, do you have a bit of a cold?
Yeah, I do get a little bit of cold.
How do you spell cold?
It's C-O-O-L.
Perfect.
All right, thank you. Thank you.
Hey, Luke.
Kenny, thanks for calling in.
Hey, Don.
Yes, Kenny.
Hey, Kenny, do you talk to Jim Messina at all anymore?
Yeah, I do not.
Yeah, I like your lower voice better, Kenny.
Yes. Hello?
So how does it feel living in an $8 million mansion?
I don't know how to live in basement mansion.
Hey, Kenny, I understand you're doing a concert tomorrow night, are you?
I'm doing a concert. Well,
you're doing a concert at a group home tomorrow night.
No, I'm not.
That's what I heard.
I'm doing a concert where the paintball thing's going to be.
Right.
No, you're not. Bye, Tom.
I'm Mike.
Bye, Tom.
Hello.
Okay, goodbye.
I mean, even for him, was he having a tougher day?
He had some cough syrup or something.
Yeah, maybe he's on some medication.
I'll let the audience in on a secret. That was not really Kenny Loggins. That was really Thomas Aloysius Gaffney.
Shocker. I thought we were talking to the man himself.
Right. Last call on this topic. Ed.
Hey, Don. Mike, how you doing?
We're doing great, thank you, Ed.
Kenny Loggins is also the national spokesperson, and I think he has a cut in the company for that pyramid company, Herbalife.
Oh, look at all he's into.
There's never been a reason to hate the guy.
Herbalife.
I answered a sales call one time, but I didn't know it was for that. And we had to sit through this video with Kenny Loggins explaining how great this stuff is.
Christ, what is he, an Amway salesman also?
Yeah.
All right, thank you, Ed.
I was busting out laughing during it when it was all over with. They made me leave.
Thank you, Ed.
No problem.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All
right, well, we've covered Kenny Loggins.
We certainly have, and I also interviewed him.
We will be back in a moment.
He's the Don and Mike.
I must not scream. I must not scream in front of them. I must stay. I must not listen to my mind. I must not run off the set. I must not run. I must not run. I know. I know I'll break down. They'll find out I'm weak. They'll find out I'm in pain. Oh, God. What God? I will break down, look like a fool, an idiot. They'll find out I can't act. Can't act at all. End of the vision. Well, there must be a way out. And my mind is telling me there's a way out. You get a nice, cool gun.
We'll talk with Phyllis Diller and continue with our panel right after this. Come away.
Nice segue.
Way to go, Larry.
Do you miss it?
You live in Richmond, Virginia. Local time just after 5 o'clock. And you hear this show in Richmond on WAAM.
Executive directors of the group home, Don and Mike.
Right, Kenny Loggins' group home.
Yeah.
Have you heard this new Will Smith song?
No, I haven't.
Just play a second of this.
Yes.
I consider myself to be a Will Smith fan.
Mm-hmm.
I like most of his movies, mm-hmm. like his songs.
If he moved into an $8 million house, you would have no problem with it.
He's earned it.
Right,
he's earned it. Made some real good music, unlike Kenny Loggins.
Excellent.
However, in this song, which is called Freakin' It,
yes,
his new song, all it really is about what a big star he is.
Okay.
If you bother to listen to the words,
right,
of this song, listen.
I'm master in my rap, I'll be that cat that's in friend. Where y'all at? On the corner with your friends. Heard you screaming about cream in your rap, yeah. Yo, my last track for Wild Wild West came on a flatbed.
My last track for Wild Wild West came on a flatbed.
Wow. Okay, so he's talking about how much money he's making.
Right.
Well, that's wonderful.
Once and for all, let's get this straight. How you let you a rapper? What make an MC great? Is it the sale 20 mil? Is it the cars? Bentley? Is it the women, Jada? Is it the money? Please.
Okay, now, what is...
Is he mocking it, or is he...
Well, what he's... The loop of the song, the hook of the song is that to be a rapper, you don't have to curse.
Okay.
But, mm-hmm. at the same time, he's talking about all my money from Wild Wild West is on a flatbed truck, record sales, 20 million, got a good-looking woman, got Jada Pinkett.
Right, right.
So I don't know. Let me continue.
So his point is you don't have to trash talk to rap.
Yeah, except all right. He's doing is talking about all the crap he has.
Okay.
If I'm master, get my rap, I'll be that gas that's in the wind. Where y'all at? On the corner with your friends. Heard you screaming about cream in your rap, yeah. Yo, my last check for Wild Wild West came on a flatbed. Once and for all, let me get this free. How you measure a rapper? What make an MC great? Is it the sales? 20 mil. Is it the cars? Bentley. Is it the women? Jada. Is it the money? Please. Mr. Clean, yet the fact remain. Got girls that don't speak English screaming my name. Are you rappers yelling about who you put in a hearse? Do me a favor. Write one verse without a curse. I'm about to freak this. What you want? Make the freak this?
I got girls who can't speak English screaming in my name.
I think I understand what I understand why he's saying it, right?
Right.
Like what he's saying is, you know, if you're slamming me, you know, because my rap is not street rap.
Yeah, but
you know, no, I think he's saying if you want the beautiful women and the big money, you don't have to swear in your rap. That's simple.
Hold on, wait a minute.
I one more again. Deja vu. Up and start, yo. Y'all see the way I flew? Can't nobody do this the way I do. You like how I feel?
John?
Yeah, Mike.
I'm not really good at analyzing this.
Wait, he just does something about the American Music Awards.
Okay.
That's the only part I want you to hear.
Say I do. Haters, sick of the hits. Like the witch of the West, nobody wicked as this. I read in rap pages. They refer to me as Saw. Yeah, more like Micro Saw. Real Gates of the rap game. What's essential? Megalomaniac. What's my rap name? I'm the man. Not conceited. I'm as good as I say I am. Bang, diggy, bang, diggy, bang, diggy, diggy. Back with the track master. The bang, diggy, diggy. Yo, every time I shoot, I'm sure. So many awards, I'm just on a Grammy chessboard. I'm about to freak this. What you want me to freak this? Don't sleep, I'm a freak this.
I don't know.
I mean, respond. What it is, you're responding to his critics. Is right. His rap is too soft. That's all.
Yeah, but you don't respond to somebody because they want to make $20 million.
Well, you know, when we get in a fight with somebody, you know, like that, and, you know, we say, well, what do you do? You know, you're here. We're doing a show. You know, you'd like to have the microphones. It's the same kind of thing.
You think so?
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm trying to, you know, it's something. I know what you're saying. He's bragging about everything he's got, but what he's saying is, I think he's answering all the critics that are slamming it. Because Will Smith obviously takes a lot of heat for his rap music because it's basically through white bread. And what he's saying is, I'm still a great rapper. And
he put Tommy Mottola's name in his record.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Hold on a second.
Elvin, Tommy Mottola, put it on sale. Comes up, forming a crew. Hot off the press through the DJ booth.
Hey, yo, man, that's brand new Will Smith.
Soon as it drop, watch the phone blow up. Ship a mail, quick to the store. What's going out? When y'all getting more? Finally get it, off the track. Then come the multi-platinum pack. Now I'ma leave it up to you. I bank the hits out just for you. Then my dream come true.
This year's American Music Award goes to...
Thank you.
I'm about to freak this.
See?
Yeah, I do understand. I understand what he's trying to do, but I also don't think it's...
When you hear the song entirely all the way through,
I'm a freak this.
It's just Will Smith saying how great he is.
How great he is, right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I'm about to freak this. Yo, keep it while I freak this. Ain't no way I got to freak this.
All right. Well, I still think he's talking to would-be rappers. A lot of guys want to be rappers, and their role models, in a lot of cases, unfortunately, are thugs and hooligans. I think Will Smith is saying, you can get the same babes, the same money, and better without going that route.
I didn't get that, Buzz.
Okay.
I didn't get
that
from
beginning.
The American Music Award goes to...
Right.
Thank you.
Yeah, and, you know, it at the beginning, he makes reference to that. You know, when they say, I'm too soft. And then towards the end, it's just, you know, more, yeah, who knows?
Who is right on the phone?
That's your wife.
Oh, it is my wife.
Okay.
Hello, honey.
Boo-boo. I agree with Mike. It's like having... you've heard people say, I'll compare W-2s.
Yeah, but you don't say in a record...
But you've heard people say it on the air. Or when, you know, or when he's being criticized, he's coming back and saying, how do you measure who's successful? Do you do it by women? I got data. Do you do it by money? I got this. Do you do it by awards? I got this.
I don't know.
Responding to criticism.
I just go with my gut. And the first time I heard the song, I thought it was Will Smith. And he's writing a song about all the stuff he's got.
Right.
And how great he is.
Well,
what about where he says, and the American Music Award goes to...
Thank you.
Yeah, because he's responding to critics.
Yeah, that's what he's doing. I mean, he's obviously, he's slamming his critics that are, you know, giving him, you know, calling him too soft. And he's self-centered.
Well, then he must be very insecure. Well, I'm insecure. You don't hear me making a goddamn rap song. I mean, I'm the king of being insecure. You know, listen, if Will Smith is insecure, I'm up on top of a building ready to jump. Please. Will Smith wants to know what it's like to be insecure. Live one day in this body, mm-hmm. and you'll know what it's like to be insecure.
Remember when that millionaire called you, and then you started to say, before you knew he was a millionaire, what do you do, and how successful are you at your business? And then you found out he was a millionaire.
No, that's just somebody who wants to bust our balls.
Yeah,
you know?
So people have busted his balls,
in the
by any of these ways, then I'm successful.
Your phone is breaking up.
Best case scenario, he's sending that message out to the would-be rappers.
Mm-hmm.
The next case scenario would be that he is, that he is defending himself against the critics.
Right.
Saying, you know, you're saying that my rap isn't, doesn't stand with the rest of the rap that's out there right now. Look what I've got. And then, your scenario is that he's just bragging.
J-O-ing.
Well,
and I will tell you that J-O.
And I think that it's a little bit of all three.
All of those.
Because, I mean, I think he starts out with the intentions of proving to his critics how powerful and how big a star he is by doing a little of that J-O-ing, and then he gets into the J-O-ing a little bit too much.
I think he's going to find out with this song, based on his last one, the Will 2K,
mm-hmm.
which was a big flop.
Right.
I think you're going to find out the more songs he sings about himself,
yep.
the less people will be buying his songs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
right. I think
probably right.
You know, remember, I preface this by saying I like Will Smith.
Right,
yes.
Right.
And
you might not understand, what he's going for, and I don't think I understand what he's going for. And you're a parent, and parents just don't understand. I go all the way back with Will.
He wants
Smith.
To be president, you know.
He
talks about, yes, Will Smith says
right.
someday he thinks he may be president of the United States.
Yeah, I love his rap music, I would say, and he makes great movies, so let me know.
Right. Why not? Let's watch him. Okay, thank you, honey.
I think it's refreshing. I don't like the
song. What? What?
She says she thinks it's refreshing.
What is?
Will Smith.
Oh, all right. Bye.
See ya.
Sometimes with the car pump breaking up, think that's refreshing. That's fine. Go live with him
and Kenny Loggins.
Yeah, that's right.
They're both so refreshing.
You want insecure? I look at insecure in the mirror every day.
Well, we do the same kind of thing. Both of us do when we argue with people. We do the same kind of thing where we'll beat our chest a little bit. You know, if somebody's giving us a hard time, we'll beat
our chest.
I've
never heard you say, hey, I'm married to Laura. You've never heard me say to anybody when we're getting an argument, hey, I'm married to Frida.
But in different ways, you know.
I know what you mean.
We've done that.
I know what you mean. I know. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, Kim.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, I'm a parent, and I think I know what he means.
Oh, great.
What?
I think we've all made the point.
What, Kim?
Yeah, I agree. I guess that was Buzz that was speaking. I think that he was probably tooting his own horn just because the critics have put him down. And being a mother of two children, I'm kind of forced to listen to that music, and I pick up on the lyrics and whatnot. And there aren't hardly any songs that the kids can have a role model for someone singing that don't have a curse word in it,
I would tell you also, though, I mean, if you're answering your critics, and, if you're going to stand in total judgment of the guy right now, and you're saying, you're answering your critics, well, two wrongs don't make a right.
Right.
I mean, really, if you're up there and you're saying, hey, do what I do, but I'm going to tell you how wonderful I am.
I think he's got 20 million answers to his critics.
Yeah,
exactly.
I agree. I think he's bragging, but he's bragging on their ragging, They're ragging on him.
See, now you're rapping right there, and you don't even know
it. Yeah, I am. I'm
ragging on their ragging.
There you go.
Goodbye, please.
Oh, yeah, I like those. Every time I hear the song, I just think it's a big J.O. That is Will Smith talking about how great his life is.
Yeah.
And frankly, I don't like hearing people tell me how great their lives are. But my life is so miserable. Every day.
Every day. You've got a wonderful life.
Oh, it's a struggle, Mike.
You've got to, just like the
Thank
film.
God I said rabbit, rabbit, rabbit this morning.
That's a struggle.
Hello, Charles.
Yeah, how you doing? Love you guys.
No, love you, Charles.
I got to agree with Buzz 100%. I think if it was someone else, I would think it was more cheating his own horn, but I think Will Smith is just basically answering his critics and telling people you can do it without cussing. You can do it without being a badass.
See, I didn't hear the beginning of the song, and I didn't know whether he was saying that. I mean, does he specifically talk about...
He has one line where he says, try to do a verse without cursing.
Okay.
That's one line that he has for the
I heard about, putting guys in a hearse. I heard that also, and that's, you know, I like that too.
Daddy.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
I guess we'll go take a brown person and explain to the pink people.
All right, finally.
Okay. Way that things are done. There were old rap battles, like LL Cool J used to battle with Kool Moe Dee, and like these are the things they used to do. They would talk about, well, I got this, or what do you got to back it up? And this is the traditional way the rap was done. It's an old style that's been brought back. And he's doing it in order to verify the stuff.
All right, thank you, my friend. Thank you for enlightening the pinkies. Thank you.
Here we are, the lily white pinkies, just sitting over the ground.
That was a fine record. Hello, Carrie.
Hey, buddies.
Hey, buddy.
Love you.
No, love you more.
Hey, I wanted to ask you guys, on one of the award shows, I think it was the Academy Awards, Will Smith kind of stood up, and he almost, like, started a war sort of thing by saying, you know, look at me, I don't have to cuss in my songs. Did you see that?
No.
I think because of that, because he did do that. He stood up when he won the award and basically said, I don't have to cuss.
Well, he preached a little bit.
Yeah.
Right.
Well,
you know, that's just not Will Smith. That's in the great tradition of Bill Smith.
You mean Major Bill?
He's Major Bill Smith.
And, you know, you've got all those gangsters. You've got Puff Daddy out there sporting a gun. You're all, you know, shooting each other.
I didn't know they were related.
No.
Will and Bill.
Will and Bill.
Oh, you didn't know that Bill Smith was actually related to Will Smith.
That's the guys out there with the violence and the rap. And I think he's kind of...
Okay. All right,
you know,
and if he is making a stand against the violence that ties itself to rap music, more power to him. If that's really where he's all, what he's all about.
All I'm hearing, though, is I got a Bentley, and I got Jada, and $20 million.
Yeah. Right.
And the American Music Award goes to...
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you.
That's right.
Okay. But, you know, that's just because I'm miserable.
No.
I'm a miserable person.
Oh, you've got a wonderful life.
I've got a wonderful life, but I'm miserable. I'm miserable in this wonderful life.
Well,
hello, Rob. And Kenny Loggins has an $8 million house.
Well, your ass doesn't have an appointment with a TV camera tomorrow, okay?
It did, though.
I know it did.
I made it through.
Yes, yes, you did.
I made it through. Yes, Mike has his big colonoscopy tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be hearing the play-by-play on that, you know. And he has to drink his special laxative. What time is 7 o'clock tonight?
I have to consume my Fleet Phospho Soda Oral Saline Laxative Ginger Lemon Flavor for bowel cleansing prior to a medical procedure. I have to drink that at 7 p.m. I'm going to wait, you know, about 7. Yeah, about 7-ish.
Yeah, do it on the show, though.
Yeah.
Drink it on the show. Come on.
I will drink. I brought it in to drink on the show.
If you drink it at 7 and we end the show at our normal time, you'll be stopping frequently on your way home.
Really?
I think so, yeah.
Well, I'll drink it during the show.
Okay.
Maybe towards the end of the show.
Hey, Rob. Yeah. Rob in Rochester.
I'm not sure if he's trying to make a statement, you know, or brag or whatever, but I guess I don't think it's smart with all these other gangsters with guns and stuff. It seems like, you know, you and him might be bragging. I think, you know, other guys have been shot for singing less in their rap songs, you know, like...
So you would be advocating the cowardly approach.
Exactly.
Because the other rappers have guns, then say nothing to anger them. That was his point of view.
I would tend to agree with that. He's right. Hello, Mike.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, buddy.
Love yous. I think he's sincere. I think he's just really coming from the heart when he's saying that, or is he just trying to take a stand?
I don't find any sincerity in it at all. I just think he's trying to come up with a formula for a hit record. He's kind of run out. And so this is his last hit record will be... Will Smith, this is all
but
the stuff
should,
I have.
You should point out that that's all the negatives that you're giving in there because you're miserable.
Yeah, that's right. I'm a miserable person.
That has to be qualified.
Okay, but I think anybody listening to this show knows I'm miserable.
And, you know, just, I mean, anybody that's listening to that, you have to just take it with a grain of salt.
Right. I said that because I'm miserable. Okay? But you know that. You know me. I'm Mr. Miserable.
Mr. Miserable.
Hello, John and Mike Show. Last call.
Yo, yo, what's up?
David, yo, yo.
What's up? I just want to say, like, after his last three hits, he's finally not sampling somebody else's music, and it's kind of original.
Oh, no, he is. He is sampling the song Love Hangover by Diana Ross.
Great song.
Oh, I was unaware. I thought it was something original.
True.
He should give props to all the people he's taking the samples from. That's my opinion.
Thank you, my friend.
Hey, Hey, later.
So should my urologist.
Yo.
Pops off the people he's taking samples from. So should Mike's doctor tomorrow.
Oh, absolutely.
For the colonoscopy.
Everybody have a piece.
Oh, listen, speaking of acid, we have the guy. I'm sorry, we've made the guy wait now.
Yeah, he didn't look. I went by the green room and he had that look on his face like, here I am, waiting to show my hand.
There was a guy who's been waiting to help us tape an announcement for Westwood One. We will bring him right in. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think we should just, if the guy in the green one wouldn't mind waiting one more break, we'll do the contest. And plus, there's another dynamic that's going on here. The dynamic is that since Ken Stevens left this station
to go to New York,
right, and since Jeremy Coleman virtually lives inside Ken Stevens' buttocks, and he wants the job as the program director of the station in New York,
right,
there's really nobody here to run this station now.
Mm-hmm.
So they have kind of pseudo put in charge. The Al Haig of the moment,
oh, yeah? Mm-hmm.
Is Big Gum Jim.
Right.
Ah! And Big Gum Jim, the last week maybe, it has been noticeable that he thinks he's going to be the program director of WJFK-FM.
Really?
And he's being more assertive about stuff.
Is he?
And for instance, today, with this thing, with taping this announcement for Westwood One.
Right.
You notice he came into the office before the show and he said, hey, are you ready to do this? And I said, no, we'll do it during the show. He has come in now 3 times today,
right,
to ask me when we're going to do it. The last time he came in and he said, I'll try to tell you
how to do the show, and I mean, I know that, you know, the comic genius has to work on a phone, but I got to get this FedEx by 6 o'clock tonight, so could you do this by 6 o'clock tonight?
He's going through a weird transformation.
Well, I didn't notice that. This is going to be interesting. We're going to have to pick his brain a little bit.
Have you noticed that, Buzz?
I got a visit from Jim today as well.
Oh,
as a matter
man.
Of fact.
In reference to what?
You know, interview shows, public service announcements, that kind of thing.
And
administrative stuff. So he's kind of already feeling his oats.
Yes, he's angling for the job.
Oh, my goodness.
He wants the job.
Uh-huh. I'd be very comfortable with him in the job.
Oh, so sure. Would I. It'd be so easy to push around.
Absolutely.
I mean, please.
But so he really wants it badly, huh?
Yeah. He has to have it by 6 o'clock, he said.
Yeah, yeah. The job or the video tape?
No, both.
Very good.
Both. He wants the job. And he wants the videotape.
Program director Jim.
Yeah.
Go figure.
But he really wants it, so
sure.
When he comes in to tape the guy pull his pants down for Westwood One, we will quiz him about it at that point.
Good. Well, what makes you think you're qualified to be on WJFK?
Yeah. How can you do it, Buzz? How can you sit down at a real, like, public affairs meeting with Big Gum Jim?
Well, because I like Jim, and, you know, there's a mutual respect. I mean, he treats me like I know what I'm doing, and I do, and so it works out fine. You know what? I'll tell you one thing. Based on my experience with Big Gum Jim in fantasy football, he is slippery enough to be a program.
Yo, absolutely.
Absolutely.
That's what I'm trying to allude to, the fact that he's already making the transformation.
In fact, he would fit in probably perfectly.
From being one of the guys to being one of them.
Absolutely.
One of them on the other side.
Well, it's really, really nice to be here, yes.
Well, never seems very satisfied with your work. And then, you know, you go, like, down the hallway and try it again.
You have to go out and buy a suit, though.
Oh, absolutely.
You have to go to Sears or JCPenney to buy a suit.
Oh, you could go to the Salvation Army. Jeremy Coleman did it for a few years.
For goodness sake. And he's going to have to shave. He thinks he's going to go to New York and get the job to be the program director. He's going to have to see the corporate people.
And really, I think it's about time to consider a chin implant. A big one.
If he had a Leno chin implant, then, you know, he might actually have the normal chin. He can just cool his jets for one moment. We'll bring him in a second. So let's give away. Hey, what the hell? Big Gum Jim's in charge today. Let's try to give away $10,000.
Oh, my God.
After all.
He's in charge. They're going to interfere with you. This thing. Ken, I don't. They gave away the $10,000. They said it was because I was in charge. I'll try to get him to do the tape. I need the tape by 6 o'clock. I told him I needed it by 6 o'clock. And that was, maybe I shouldn't have done that. God, I want that job. I want that job so much. Jeremy, I want to be you.
Listen, we will give the 100th caller right now a guaranteed chance to win $10,000. That's what you'll play for.
Excellent.
$10,000 with the secret celebrity laugh. Be the 100th person to call the show right now at 1-877-365-3636.
Thank you, Donald. This is the...
Do you realize how many guys I've coached against that either played for me or coached for me? then goddamn, I'd be an emotional wreck if I had emotions for every goddamn guy that I coach against that's played or coached or whatever. I mean, hell, I've had Jimmy Cruz. And goddamn, Jimmy played for me, was a great player, and coached for me for about 8 years. Christ, I should have gone to Gavin to go to hell. And goddamn, I should have been just emotionally drained.
With a chunk of Pat Summerall's stomach in every delicious bite. Guaranteed. The John and Mike Show.
Hey, listen, everybody. Vegas style show tomorrow night.
All right.
All new and retooled for the year 2000. Some new bits tomorrow night at the Vegas style show. We will be at Bo Hager's in Baltimore.
In the Bay Dome.
But even though things are changing, it'll still be the kind of slapstick, ribald, risque, nudity-laced show that you've come to know and love.
You're going
to
love it.
Tomorrow night at Bo Hager's, we will hit the stage at 9. That's in Baltimore. You've got to be 21 to get in. And, of course, it costs the zip. It's our way of saying thank you for listening to the show. That's tomorrow night. Tomorrow on this radio show, we will give away a trip anywhere in America. Next week on the show, every day we're giving away a free trip to Iceland.
Right.
And a week from Monday for Valentine's Day, we're giving away a hot tub, and that involves Dennis Murphy and girls in bikinis. So there is tons of stuff happening on the show. And we will also be playing paintball this Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to come watch us, the good guys,
yeah,
against them, the sales staff, the bad guys.
And you have to root for us.
We will be playing at 8 a.m. at Pev's Paintball in Woodbridge, Virginia.
Pev says it's the best.
Pev says, come on by. I understand, Buzz, that the Buzz Burbank of the NFL coaching world has quit.
Really?
Did Rockhead just tell you that?
No, no one told me anything.
Wasn't
I just standing next to Dom when he told Rockhead to go in and tell you that?
Yes. Didn't Rockhead come in and tell you?
No. Hadn't gotten the
Hey,
word.
Rockhead, come here for a minute.
Yeah. How difficult is it to feel? I guess maybe he's Vermeil. You know, he's the lame duck phone screener.
Right. And where is he? He just stuck his head in here like he had a news bulletin, and he really did. Didn't I tell you to go tell that to Buzz? He has a computer. I figured he'd get to it by the
time. Didn't I tell you to go tell that to Buzz, though?
I didn't know you were serious.
What?
How can I not be more serious? You better go tell Buzz, because if you don't go tell him, he won't know it until Friday.
That's what you told me, so I figured you were joking.
No, I was being serious.
He was joking at the end, and that was the joke at the end, but he was serious at the front part, you know.
I apologize. I just thought he was making fun of Buzz, so I thought he was joking.
No, your days are so numbered.
Sorry, Rockhead,
thank you.
Get out of here, Rockhead.
Thank you, Rockhead.
So, yes, the story is that the Buzz Burbank of the NFL,
right,
the oldest coach of the NFL,
Dick Vermeil. Great move, I think.
Dick Vermeil has quit. And I told Rockhead, I'm going to tell you, because I know you don't look at the sports stuff on ESPN.
I don't look at ESPN. I watch AP, and AP just got the story about a minute and a half ago.
Ah, beautiful. So Dick Vermeil, what, did he die or did he quit?
No, there was some uncertainty. He'd been hedging about whether he'd stay or go. He announced this afternoon he's retiring.
Man, that's the way to go, though, isn't it? I mean, you come back after everybody said, hey, you're cracked. You're not able to handle it anymore.
You're cracked.
You're a broken man. And then you come back into the league and you win the Super Bowl and then you quit. That's cool. I love that story. That's a good story.
Did you like Cracked when you were a kid?
I liked Cracked, but, you know, not, of course, as much as Mad Magazine, but Cracked was kind of the pretender, and I don't like, guys that try to, it's like candy, if you've got the original candy and somebody tries to make a cheap ripoff.
You know what I hated about Cracked more than anything?
What?
Not the fact that they did the Mad Magazine format, which was okay,
mm-hmm,
but that Mad Magazine has Alfred E. Newman.
Right.
And Cracked had the guy in the painter suit.
Right.
With the long blonde hair.
That just never looked the same.
What was his name? His name was Sylvester. Does anybody know that guy's name? The guy from Cracked?
No.
Okay.
The animation in general in Cracked wasn't as good as Mad. Mad had a lot more detail to the animation.
Right. They had one guy who had drawn for Mad for years, mm-hmm, and then went to Cracked.
And it was, you know, in every possible way, it was the cheaper alternative to Mad Magazine. Mm-hmm.
And I know we've discussed it, but there was a third one also, wasn't there? There was a third tier.
See, I always thought that the three that I always thought, even though they're not related, were Mad Magazine. This is when I was growing up, when I was 13, 14 years old. You had Mad, you had Cracked, and then you had Lampoon.
National Lampoon.
National Lampoon, totally different animal.
Those were the three, like, humor magazines, and National Lampoon was always in that same section with Mad Magazine, and I always like, you know, Lampoon.
I always like National Lampoon. They would show girls with their tops off.
Absolutely.
Like in the photo funnies.
Oh, man, you scour those for that.
You know, my wife seriously yelled at me today. Seriously yelled at me.
Uh-huh.
Because when we were down at Super Bowl, On the plane on the way down, I let Bart buy Maxim magazine.
Nice. Right.
And let him read that.
Bikini. It wasn't just Maxim magazine, Don. It was the bikini edition of Maxim. But it was, right. They were all tasteful photographs.
And then when we were at the game, because we had this ice storm and we couldn't leave our hotel, he went down to the lobby and he said, "Hey, can I buy this magazine called Stuff?" And I said, "What is that?" And he said, "It's the sister publication of Maxim magazine."
Right.
And he opened it up and he showed me that they had, like, pictures of animals mating and stuff, and they had wacky captions underneath.
Right.
I said, "Sure." Well, today Frida says, "Do you realize what you let him read, what he's had in his room now for the last 3 days?" I said, "Yes, it's Stuff magazine. It's like Maxim."
Right.
She said, "Did you read any of the articles?" I said, "No, I thought they had, like, pictures of giraffes something. It looks funny." She said, "They had a 4-page article about girls talking about the best way to give oral sex."
Oh, my God.
Warning. Do you realize he's been reading that for the last 4 days, and he's so happy because you bought it for him?
Oh, my God.
I had no idea.
You were very busy at the Super Bowl.
I wasn't that busy, Mike. You just had no idea.
It's hard to read every article, but I guess if you look in the table of contents, you would see that.
I don't know. I just looked. They had a picture of a hot girl on the cover, and I said, "What is that magazine about?" And he showed me the picture of these giraffes on it.
Would she take it away from him?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And did he bring it into the office?
I think she threw it away.
Oh, damn.
And last thing before we get our caller 100, what is this about the millionaire show? Somebody's pissed at Ed Regis?
Yeah, but
Ulysses Grant or Teddy Roosevelt.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the guy said
JFK. Right.
And they said, no, that's the wrong answer, that it was Teddy Roosevelt.
Right.
Why is that even something that people are debating?
Because the guy claims that that he said JFK because that's when it was called an inauguration. When it was Teddy Roosevelt, it was a swearing-in ceremony.
Right, correct.
And there were only about 50 people there. It was nothing like the inaugurations we had.
But an inauguration is a swearing-in. It's the same event. And I got it. Well, then this guy is full of crap.
I
thought that the controversy, because I never really read the whole story, I thought it was the guy said JFK, and then maybe there was some kind of a time thing, like if JFK got sworn in at noon and Roosevelt got sworn in at 3 o'clock.
No, see, he claims that the people at ABC are doing this as a technicality,
right,
when in fact a swearing in is a swearing in. An inauguration is when you're sworn in as President of the United States. Mm-hmm. And what you call it, it's the same event. So the youngest guy ever to be sworn in, I'm not sure how the question was structured on who wants to be a millionaire.
Who was the youngest U.S. president at his inauguration?
And an inauguration is another word for... What is the dictionary definition?
Here you go. Webster's Dictionary says inaugurate means to induct an official into office with a formal ceremony.
Well,
to induct an official into office with a formal ceremony.
And it was a formal ceremony, even though it was nothing like the ones we have today.
So really, Roosevelt's inauguration took place at a private home and was witnessed by 50 people, including 6 cabinet members and various dignitaries.
That's the ceremony.
Right. So, I don't know.
Mm.
I love it when Reed just gets in the middle of this.
And the guy is apparently a specialist in presidential trivia. So
yes.
He's, and I think if he really knew the answer, I think he would have answered Roosevelt. I think that's pretty obvious.
And what's great is that there's this whole controversy. And right here in USA Today is that same stupid picture of Regis. Like Regis, with his mouth open.
Right.
Like Regis has anything to do
with
any of this.
Absolutely not.
Right.
Regis just shows up in his limo.
He's the old man who reads the cards.
Hey, Regis, what do you think of this Roosevelt JFK issue?
How's my tie look? Hello there, Don and Mike show. Hello. Hi.
Caller 100?
Yes, you are the 100th caller.
Awesome.
Really? What is your name?
Carrie.
Where are you calling from, Carrie?
15 North.
Well, what city, darling?
Emmitsburg.
Emmitsburg?
Well,
way up in the country. Beautiful.
Pardon?
Honey, where is Emmitsburg, Mike?
I think it's in Pennsylvania.
It's in Maryland.
Oh, it's in Maryland? Near the Pennsylvania border?
Yeah.
You have won the Playboy prize pack. Call 1-800-500-8800 to order a subscription to Playboy and save 67% off the cover price. As a tribute to acting manager Big Gum Jim McClure.
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready to play the game for
$10,000? Yes, I am.
All right, we'll give you a chance right now to win $10,000 American dollars, which would pretty much guarantee that Jim McClure would not be the next program director of this station. So we wish you good luck. We'll play you the secret celebrity laughing. Please don't answer until Mike sings like
Big Gum Jim.
Are you ready?
Yes.
We wish you
Touch speed.
Caller, name this secret celebrity laugh.
There is the secret celebrity laugh. And somewhere right now in the bowels of this building, Jim McClure's underpants are going way up the crack of his behind because you're playing for $10,000.
Yeah.
Yes. For $10,000, who is that?
Michael Jackson.
Are you listening, Jim? Jim McClure?
Jim McClure, do we have news for you?
Would you repeat that answer?
Michael Jackson.
No.
No.
Sorry. Thank you. Remember, every guest is a clue for you.
Clue for you.
We appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hold on a second. We'll be right back. We have to do that video for Big M Joe so he can get it FedExed out.
Okay, that's $10,000. That was a dirty trick, man.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show, Sports 1140 KHDK.
I don't know why, but I'm always one and one.
You mean they broadcast from Monday till Friday? The Don and Mike Show.
So, have you noticed Big Gum Jim hovering around?
Yes, I have. And he wanted to thank us both for that ringing endorsement, he said. He was very, very happy about that.
Well, we're ready to tape our little advertisement for Westwood One.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to
spruce up a little bit.
We need the guy who's been waiting here for 2 hours to be in this video.
Right.
If someone would bring him in from the green room, and we need Big Gum Jim to be the cameraman, let me just explain this to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Our network, Westwood One,
mm-hmm.
is having some kind of an executive conference. And rather than bring all of the disc jockeys with the syndicated shows to the conference, they are having the disc jockeys each tape some kind of personal message.
Much better.
Here is Big Gum Jim now, and here is the guy who's been patiently waiting to help us out in this video, the guy who will be pulling down his pants.
I'm a little disappointed because I was hoping for a big fat guy. You know, I really was, and we got kind of a...
I think his ass will do fine.
Yeah, I kind of heard the guy from the NASA call, and I've seen that guy. He works at a Nissan, and he's one big guy.
Jimmy?
My feelings would not be hurt if you really wanted a big, beefy guy.
Mm-hmm. Jimmy, there was no need for you to adjust that man's microphone. See what I mean?
He's hovering.
He is hovering. I'm telling you, he might be a pain-in-the-ass program director if he got that job.
You think? Yeah, well, he's slippery. Just remember. Remember, he's slippery, and you can't trust him, and I know that based on fantasy football.
So before we get to the Big Gum Jim interview, you've been nice enough to wait 2 hours. What is your name?
Kevin Harding.
And where are you from?
Right here in Manassas, Arlington.
Okay, what we're going to need you to do is bend over, pull down your pants, and then when Mike and I are speaking, you know how Jim Carrey did that thing where he actually pulled his ass cheeks apart? Need you to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so why don't you get in position...
Right, go take these.
Oh, yeah, so it's not going to be one flash. He's going to have his pants down the entire time.
I don't even think that the camera should be on us.
Oh, okay. All right. Very good.
I mean, don't you agree?
Sure. Sure. That's fine. All right.
I think it can start with us, but then it would be just like herky-jerky with the camera going over to him.
Right. The lights have been adjusted.
All right. Why don't you go ahead and bend over.
Okay.
Bend over. Pull your pants down. Lift your shirt up. Okay. Oh, wait a minute. Hold on.
Well, I'm so glad I'm not seeing this.
There's going to be some cleaning necessary.
Oh, God. Oh, dear.
Really. You know what? Maybe you shouldn't do the thing where you pull your cheeks apart. Maybe you should just bend over and just let us just see
you.
You
want to just talk and then, like, a message from us, a loving message to all the managers from you, and then... And then just a pan over.
How about you just start on the wall? I don't even think we should be in it, should
okay.
we?
Okay.
Well, I'm worried about the camera technique with Jim going from me
right
to you and then cutting over to the guy's
butt. How about we just talk with our message? Now, is it coming through the board? Are we recording this through the board? And you just have a shot of his butt. And we will say, on behalf of the Don and Mike Show.
Do you have video editing on that? I mean, can you, if you went...
No, I could just hand from you guys to his ass.
See, that's what I'm worried about. That's what it'll look like America's Funniest Home Videos.
Right.
Because on the camera we have at home, as soon as you stop,
right.
when you start again, you get a seamless edit on the video camera.
Right.
But we don't have that?
I bet this camera does that.
He thinks, Buzz, why don't you come run the camera? Let's give Buzz a try at this.
Okay, very good.
Buzz is very...
Videography savvy.
Yes, right.
Videographically inclined.
Yes, that's absolutely...
That's a big word there.
Buzz, why don't you try first just
Well, does it have a view? Does it have a spot where you can view what
you're
seeing?
Is it a digital camera or a regular Super 8?
It's at 8 millimeters, so it will edit.
Okay, well then great. How about we'll start with me.
Okay.
And then you can cut to Mike, and then we'll cut to the guy's ass.
Excellent.
Yeah, okay?
Three cut. That's perfect. Okay.
So here's the first cut on me. Okay? You got it? Am I rolling? Is this the good one? Hi, Westwood One managers. It's me, disc jockey Don Geronimo. Cut. And now Buzz is going to go take Mike's picture.
You want me to move this thing?
With the video camera.
Perfect. And you ready?
Hi, and I'm Radio's Mike O'Mara.
Cut. Okay, now, to the guy's ass.
You want me to spread them apart?
No, don't spread them apart.
Hold on, just...
I don't want to see his ass again.
All right, just pull down your pants, though. And bend over. Don't spread your ass. Lift your shirt up now. Okay, now, Buzz?
And how about simultaneously now when you're showing that? And from our family to your family... Now, what's this? A happy managers meeting? What's it for, Jim?
What's it for, Jimmy?
Go out and sell and get you lots of affiliates.
Oh, it's like a pep talk.
I'm seeing the guy's nuts. Okay, go ahead. Just keep bending over. Buzz, just no nuts in this shot.
All right, now are you recording, Buzz?
Okay, ready? Hold on. We'll just do it back and forth.
Yeah, we'll just go back and forth.
Are you ready, Buzz? Tell me when we're on.
3, 2.
From our family to your family,
we'd like to say, go out and sell, sell, sell. And if you need any motivation, take a look at this smiling face.
The Don and Mike Show urges you to kick ass,
because our show will crack you up.
Except the guy moves.
Yeah, he moves.
The guy moves.
I think you shot a good ending.
That's all right?
You got an ending?
Okay. Can we preview that? Do we have a way to see that, to see what we've done?
Does it have the screen thing? Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, my friend. Thank you for the use of your ass.
Very nice.
Thank you very much.
Well, you have a question? Oh, dear, he's got a question. I always hate that one.
What's the question?
What's your question?
I was wondering if Larry Michaels ever brought you any of that stuff from the 99 U.S. Open this year.
No, he hasn't.
He did not.
No, he didn't bring it.
I have it at my house for you.
Oh, really? Well, fantastic.
I do.
All right. That's great. I will not be going to your house, but if you could
bring
it to the
station.
Because, I mean, you can understand a man that just showed his ass on our video.
You got it?
Thank you very much.
Can I sing it, Jimmy? All right, Jimmy's going to... All right, now, it's a very small picture. Okay, good. All right, now I'm seeing the picture of me. That's a good close-up of me saying hello. And I'll tell you if it's a clean edit or not. And then... Hey! It works perfectly.
Okay, great.
A clean edit, a good type. And then right to this guy's ass.
All right.
Except, you know what? We got to redo. Because the guy pulls his shirt down and then pulls his shirt up.
So it's got to be just a stage.
Just his a shot of his ass. We got to do it again. We got to have another take.
Take it to the end of Mike's.
Yes, yes.
And then we can reshoot your narration.
Buzz, can you do that?
Yes.
Can you cue it up? Since the part that you and I did, Mike, of course, was perfectly executed.
Okay, that's great.
No flaw. I mean...
Yeah, never.
Good...
One take.
Good close-up of me, good close-up of you.
So we just do the end.
As we were talking, though...
Right.
This guy... At first, when they go from the close-up of my face...
Right.
...to your face, seamless edit...
Right.
...to a close-up of that guy's ass.
Okay, and
that's beautiful.
So your whole thing is that you just got to stay there until we finish, and when you can hear that music that Don plays at the end, and wait till that's done, and then we'll be done with that.
All right, let me know when you're ready there, buddy.
And I will edit my cracked up line because I simply didn't care for the line, really. Okay. I didn't like it. I'd like to read...
Thought it was fine.
I know, but like very trite, very overused.
Okay. Pull down your pants.
Okay.
So give me a count here, Buzz.
Here we go. In 3, 2.
So Westwood One, on behalf of the entire Don and Mike Show,
we urge you to go out and sell, sell, sell.
Here at the Don and Mike Show, we think Westwood One kicks ass.
Absolutely. And our show will crack you up.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
I
thought you weren't going to say the crack-ulata.
Yeah, sorry, we have to do it again. Sir, I hate to make you do that.
No, I don't like it. Let me look at it.
You know how much of a perfectionist I hate that line.
Can I look at it?
Yes, go ahead.
If it looks good?
Well, no, because if it will look good, I want to do it one more time.
Oh, I don't want to do it again.
Just do it one more time. Humor me, please. You never humor me on these things, please.
All right, just humor me.
Buzz, can you cue it up again?
Yes.
Because I don't want it to be too muddy now.
But don't worry.
No pun intended.
It won't be muddy.
I'm sorry to make you do this again.
When we're going to the part where we go from me,
I don't let you. Crack you up. I'm sorry.
It was really not a problem, but I thought we did it beautifully.
I understand that. I understand. I don't like the line. All right, Buzz, you can get back to the place.
You ready, Shay?
Right.
He's trying.
You're doing good for a senior citizen.
Okay. Are you in position again with your ass?
Yeah, just about.
Okay. Give me a countdown there, Buzz.
Here we go. In 3, 2.
So on behalf of the entire Don and Mike show,
we want you to go out and sell.
Remember Westwood One? At the Don and Mike show, we think you guys kick ass. You kick major ass.
I like it that way. I like it without me saying anything.
He shouldn't have said, I like it like that.
What? That's right.
You should have just been quiet.
I'm sorry. I'm very... What? Don't start directing us, Jim. Jim, I swear to God,
I'll kick your ass.
What did you want to say, Jimmy?
I think we should just do one from the very beginning again.
Why?
Because
the beginning's
so
perfect.
Edits. But there'll be so many edits, it'll be tough to figure it out.
All right, let's try it one time. From the beginning?
Yeah, because all we do is say, hi, it's me, and hi, it's you.
Okay. All right, so we have to do, not your part, you can keep your pants up for a second.
Ready, Buzz? Just start over.
The whole thing?
Yeah, just take it all the way from the top.
All right.
A Jim McClure production.
Okay, you tight on me?
Okay, what are you laughing at, Rob?
Jim, it's fun to have Jim in here, isn't it?
Oh, and great. I do have a new line for that. It's a little more graphic.
Good, I don't.
Okay.
Okay, here we go.
Tell me when we're rolling.
In 3, 2.
Hi, Westwood One. It's me, your favorite disc jockey, Don Geronimo. Cut. And then to Mike.
In 3, 2.
In 3, 2. Well, he's doing it like in TV.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Just say
3, 2, 1 for Christ's sake.
Make it take it on the one.
Nobody pointed at me and said 3, 2, and then I was like,
man.
Billy's holding that thing.
Temperamental. For goodness sakes.
Duh. Honest to God. 3, 2, 1. Point at me or something.
Did you see Wayne's World?
Talking.
Yeah. 5, 4.
Oh, so you need the point.
That's the way they did it. 5, 4, 3.
Point and hold the camera at the same time.
Then just say 1.
All right.
Buzz, just take it all the way from the top.
All right.
Just take it from the top so you don't have to re-cue it again.
Jesus Christ.
Okay, how you doing? Here we go. Tell me when you were...
5, 4, 3.
Don't mock me, Buzz.
1.
Hi, Westwood One. It's me, your favorite disc jockey, Don Geronimo. Mike, you know how you can tell?
Yeah.
When you see the red light go on.
Thank you.
Give me a countdown.
In 3, 2, 1.
And I'm radio's Mike O'Mara.
Okay, now to the guy's ass.
All right.
Can we need this guy to bend over again, please? And give me a 3 count on that, please.
3, 2, 1.
And God, effed it up. Take it again.
From the very top?
Oh, no. No.
That won't be necessary, will
it? No, just cue it past Mike.
Okay.
Christ, all of this for something they're going to look at, and they're just going to take out of the machine and throw on the ground.
That's right. That's what it is. He's not even going to use it.
No, it's going to be worthless. Let me know when you got a cue there, buddy. Would it help if you took your bifocals off?
Well,
sadly, he's the most skilled person on this staff when it comes to audiovisual.
He knows how to do it, and he knows how to give me a 3 count.
He gave me a 5 count, actually. I got the 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. How you doing, Father Time?
Doing great. You know what he's doing? He's trying to make it perfect, is what he's doing. Anyway, because, like, when we pick it up again, it'll come in like it'd be a seamless edit, hopefully, right? Is that what you're doing? Is that why it's taking so much time?
Jim, don't help him.
Just don't touch him. Jim, you're doing nothing to help him.
Just don't touch the machine, Jimmy. Can we just start over, Buzz? Would it be easier for you?
Yeah, actually, it would.
Okay. We're going to just do it again. Okay, this is the last one, okay?
Yeah, otherwise we're forgetting the whole thing.
This is the last one. You can just give me a 3 count, Buzz.
3, 2, 1.
Hi, Westwood One. It's me, your favorite disc jockey, Don Geronimo. Cut. Beautiful.
3, 2, 1.
And hello, friends. I'm Radio's Mike O'Mara.
All right, now, tight on this guy's ass, and the guy pulling his pants down, don't move. And nobody say nothing until the music's played and the re-Romano tape.
I'll let you see.
Okay?
In 3, 2, 1.
And beyond. Jesus!
Oh, no.
I'm sorry.
Oh, why?
Okay. Yeah. You want to try one more time from the top, Buzz? Would that be easier, Buzz?
Yeah, actually, it's better.
Okay, all right, here we go.
Playback.
Christ. All right, that one's on me. One of our regular... This is like one of our regular...
Yeah.
For those of you wondering what it's like when Mike and I cut commercials quicker. Here we go.
Ready for autofocus? Here it is in 3, 2, 1.
Hi, Westwood One. It's me, your favorite disc jockey, Don Geronimo. Cut.
3, 2, 1.
And hello, good friends. I'm Radio's Mike O'Mara.
Good.
No, I won't F it up this time. This is, to quote Colonel Sanders, right. This is a good one.
In 3, 2, 1.
And on behalf of everyone with the Don and Mike Show,
we urge you to go out and sell.
Because despite what we say on our show, we think Westwood One kicks ass.
I smell a winner.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Let me see it now.
Better than to crack me up, right?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Thank you. Thank you very much. That's our best take, I think.
Great.
Well worth it.
Excellent job. And you, sir, you have the patience of Job there. That was
you sure do. Thank you, my friend. Thank you.
It's an honor to be in here.
You might want to stop in the men's room on your way out, though.
Okay.
I don't know. It's kind of looked like the inside of Rudy's underpants there.
Long day at work, right?
Yeah. Long, long day. You got a cue up for me there, Buzzy?
Drive for a living.
I give you the thumbs up on this, Mike. The finished product for good old Westwood One.
Excellent job.
Here we go.
In 3.
What are we waiting on now, Buzz? I think we're just waiting on rewind and play. You got it? Beautiful. Here we go. Hold on. Yep, there's me right there. So there's a bunch of retakes here. There's you. Hold on, these are not the...
Wait, not the original. Did you rewind all the way to the beginning?
No.
Well, I don't know.
Remember,
what the hell?
We decided not to back up. We decided to do it all over again.
What the hell?
So you're coming up...
See, I thought we were just going to rewind it and record over it.
So I'm looking at all the outtakes first? Oh, all right. Well, that's why there was a choppy edit. It went from me, then to you. Then it was you when you yelled and said, God damn it.
Oh, okay, all right. All right,
okay. Well, how are they going to know which one is the good one? Jimmy?
How is this being put together? Yeah, here's, and I'm sure we're going to get the correct answer here. How is this being put together?
I will send them a note with everything on it, and they'll send it to the editor.
Oh,
No.
This has got to be...
No.
Then I'll go upstairs and black it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right, go do that then. Yeah. Go do that.
You need to be able to hear it.
So we just send them one tape. Just one tape.
Our careers are in good hands.
Yeah, well, it's a stupid idea to begin with, I think.
Right.
And we had no choice in the matter. We had to do this tape for Westwood.
We did indeed.
So we thank you for coming down today and lending us the use of your ass.
Good job.
Help yourself to some toilet paper on the way out. And now, Jimmy, you're going to run upstairs. And can you tell us exactly what you're going to be doing? What is the next move in the process? Here he is, the next program director of WJFK.
You know how much time it takes for him to get the 3 feet to get to the microphone?
The wires are all tangled. I don't want to tear it apart.
What is the next move?
I will go upstairs and delete all your edits, all your takes.
And you'll come back with just one clean,
smooth one, yeah.
And it'll look perfect.
Okay. Perfect.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
I like the program director right there, Jim McClure. There we go.
Yep.
Okay, it was tough. They're very hard to work with.
They're very, like, prima donna-esque.
I never noticed that before.
They don't cooperate. They're not cooperative at all, and it's just got to be, you know, they made me do it.
I'm proactive, though.
I am.
I'm Big Gum Jim.
So is Jeremy going to be with you in New York permanently? And that would mean that really I think I could fill his shoes quite nicely.
Randy Bolf.
I cheated in fantasy football.
Yeah, let him send that out to Westwood One.
Excellent.
Some guy's big, stained, hairy ass. Sack hanging down. Oh, it was a beautiful shot. Thank you, everybody. That's how you promote a radio show to the network.
Absolutely. Yeah.
We'll be back after this.
This is the show. That night was my son's birthday party. My wife is like the priest. He's always at the house.
Hey, Tony.
I know.
Right, Grandma Grace?
Hey, you bless it. I'll eat it.
He's not coming.
Who?
Grandma just called. Started crying and hung up.
She needs a purpose in life.
No, your mother is tougher than you think.
So what, no f***ing DD now?
Hey! John and Mike, you know, I heard you were having a party, and you're trying to get me to go, but I'm not going to go if there's no f***ing DD, because, you know, it's just not going to happen. Thank you very much.
Let them raise your children.
Sure.
The Don and Mike Show.
I got it, Don.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Yeah, hi. My name's Mike. I'm a television producer. Just want to tell you that if you try to black out the beginning of that tape on a regular VCR, you're going to ruin it.
You're a TV producer?
Yeah.
For who?
For who?
Yeah.
I grew up in Columbia, Maryland.
For who? Hello?
Yeah, for a group called Max Q up in Columbia, Maryland.
I never heard of him. You've heard of him, Mike?
No, you haven't heard of me.
What TV shows have you done?
Well, we've done some pieces for some stuff on the Discovery Channel and some stuff for PBS, the BBC.
And you say that if we try to black out the front of it, what'll happen? Jim was telling me that, Buzz, you rewound it all the way to the beginning.
No, I don't believe that I did.
Yeah, I think you did, and it erased Liddy's thing.
I saw Liddy still on there.
He was still on there.
Jim just told me that. I'm just telling you what Jim told me.
Yeah. Okay, I'm telling you I saw Liddy.
Oh, that is a fine mess.
He said Liddy's got another one or something.
I wanted to give you two.
Jim showed me our. Jim, what did you tell me? What's going on?
Oh, here he is. Hold on. Here's our director, Big Gum Jim.
What happened when Buzz was rewinding it? He rewound it all the way back to the beginning.
Oh, dear.
So all your old takes were at the very end of the tape, so I just did play and record and covered over the rest of it. Well, he did record over to Liddy's first one.
I don't understand what did I turn out okay?
Yours looks great.
What about Liddy?
Perfect.
Good. So the first thing you see on the tape is ours?
Yes.
The good one?
The good one.
Okay.
Excellent. What are the sound effects and everything?
Sound effects and everything.
And that's when he played for me upstairs, which came out good.
You thought it looked okay? You saw it, Mike?
Yes, in a very, amateur way. It's the best one we could have gotten.
Okay.
It's seamless. It's just a guy.
With a home video in our studio.
Yes, perfect.
Right,
that's
right.
And then what happened to Liddy's?
He did two takes, and his first one was cut off. Yours covered his first one, but his second one is on there, so he's fine.
Okay, so his
okay, good.
Everything so worked out.
Everybody's happy.
Quite beautiful. Thank you very much, Jimmy.
Thank you.
Well, tell me something. How bad do you want the job as program director here? Why would you even want this job? Why do you want to be the program director?
It's a thankless job. You have to
tell us now he's leaving.
Constant use from your air talent.
Now he's leaving. Well, this your TV pro. Looks like we got it worked out.
Excellent.
Well, yeah, if you look at the tape, though, or just before your piece, if you blacked out, there's going to be a big...
He didn't black anything out. He just recorded over it.
Oh, okay.
All right.
You're fine. I didn't hear that.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Discovery Channel.
Well,
discover this.
Hello.
Discover some dial tone.
How can you go?
doing?
What? Oh, hello,
you know,
Dennis.
I'd love to say discovers it, but I realize Dennis Murphy's on the line, isn't he?
Yeah.
And as soon as Dennis Murphy hears the click, he begins to scream.
Hi, Dennis. What?
What?
Oh, okay. Oh, no,
what?
Do you want me to show up Saturday?
For paintball, yes. I already told you, you're going to dress up like a nurse.
Okay, and then, and Valentine's Day, you want to participate in the hot tub, right?
Yes. Didn't Charlie already run you through that?
Oh, not yet.
Oh, yes. Yes, we do.
Okay.
Need you to show up on Valentine's Day in your bathing suit.
Okay.
And you're going to be in a hot tub with either Jenna or Shiloh, or maybe both of them.
Fine with me.
And girls who want a chance to win the hot tub will come down, wear their skimpiest bikinis, and the girl who can French kiss you the longest, for the longest amount of time, will leave with a $5,000 hot tub.
It would be a real nice courtesy to our contest players, Dennis, if you found your way into a dentist chair before this contest.
But I'm not going to.
Oh, you sound like legal, Mike.
No, I'm just wondering if you're going to do that or not. How long have we been telling you to do that?
Well, the last couple of months.
All right, so Dennis, you're going to be involved in a kissing contest.
Okay.
Right? Very important that you get to the dentist sometime in the next 12 days.
Oh, okay. I'll get my teeth whitened. Don't worry.
Jesus Christ. What woman wouldn't want to make out with you?
Replay.
All right, Mike wants a replay, please.
Can you hear that again?
Lord.
Jesus.
This is the mouth that will be kissed in the hot tub.
You got it?
For Valentine's Day.
On two. Hold on, Dennis.
Hold on. Tape two. Gotcha.
Right and go away.
Rewind.
That's the mouth.
Okay, I'll get my teeth whitened. Don't worry.
It's a real moment. It's a real moment. All right, goodbye.
Hey, can I thank Ocean City for having me this past weekend?
Yes, goodbye.
Go to a real dentist. Go to a real dentist.
Okay.
Goodbye.
Coconut and Natalie to make me stay there. Bye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
He's in a great hotel when he goes down.
He's a coconut Mallory in Ocean City.
Can you believe that? It's about $400 a night hotel.
Eating room service and belching.
Jesus Christ. Hold on. Before we get to Buzzy with News, we do have a couple of wacky story files. I don't know. We tried to call all of these people to book them on the show earlier today.
Yes.
No one was at home. Let me tell you the stories real quick that we're working on right now. Guy in Pennsylvania, very lonely man, is willing to pay $25,000 to the person who can fix him up with Miss Wright.
Okay.
This is a 34-year-old freelance copywriter. Says he came up with the idea of a finder's fee because he's desperately seeking a good relationship.
Man, that's incredible. I mean, just think of the people that are looking for the $25,000 that'll try to steer him to their honey.
Sure. And it sounds like he's a handsome man because it says he looks like John Malkovich with a full head of hair.
Hey, how exciting is that?
Then we have the story from San Diego of a homeless guy. A homeless guy who's on the sidewalk of the freeway in San Diego. He's got a sandwich board on that says, "We'll do anthropology for food."
Okay.
This guy is an out-of-work anthropologist.
That's a shame.
Okay, and he's got a cell phone and he's standing by the side of the road.
All right.
Then we got a guy who claims he's 148 years old and he's Doc Holliday.
Right. Hey, I like that.
He says he faked his own death in 1887 and credits his longevity to what he calls experimental drugs that cured him of
tuberculosis.
I'm hearing a weird sound.
I'm getting a ringing in my ears.
I mean, that's why I would... Normally, I'll just tell you if I mispronounce a word.
Right.
Like a
ringing?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm hearing it, too.
Yeah, I really was.
No, I'm serious. There's a ringing sound. Of course, I hear that all the time.
Oh, now you... So you're just patronizing.
No, I seriously heard it. It was like... Not that ringing.
Was it like that?
It was not that ringing at all.
Tuberculosis. Okay, so, which one do you want to call?
I want to call Doc Holliday.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And ask him all about Wyatt Earp.
Doc Holliday. There we go.
And then, did you like the Val Kilmer Doc Holliday or your favorite Dennis Quaid Doc
Holliday? Dennis Quaid Doc Holliday. Kicks ass.
I love that movie Tombstone with... Who's the guy that played a Wyatt Earp? I'm trying to think. Not Kirk Douglas.
not Michael Douglas.
No. I have a mental block. Someone help me here.
Are you hearing that ringing sound again?
Yeah.
Make it stop.
I really heard something. I heard a very hollow sound in the headphones.
I got a mental block on his
face. There's certainly no reason for mispronouncing the word tuberculosis, but I did.
And he was Wyatt Earp, and it was very unusual casting. Big Trouble in Little China. Married to Goldie Hawn.
Kurt Russell.
Hi, this is Doc Holliday, and I am taking all interview requests through my email at
DocHShoots,
that's DocHShoots,
email.com.
We'll be beginning my interviews the week of January 15th. Mm-hmm. That's the week after next, and look forward with you then.
Yeah, I'm
sure. 25-year-old guy.
Leave a voice message.
I'm sure he's 148.
Or just wait for the tone.
Yeah, hey, you think you're 148? Talk to this man right here.
Hi. Wow.
See that guy? He's at least 150.
247, Don.
That's right. He does the news here every single day. You think you're so special.
Listen, you punk. Pick up the phone.
Yeah, he's Buzz Burbank. He's 247. And let me tell you something. He's also a gunfighter.
Deal, snot-nosed kid. Pick up the phone.
Come on.
Pick up the phone. Do you hear that ringing in my ears?
We won't be ignored, Doc.
If you are satisfied with your message, press 1.
No.
To listen to your message,
yes.
Press 2.
We love that.
To re-record.
Yeah, hey, you think you're 148? Talk to this man right here.
Hi. Wow.
See that guy? He's at least 150.
247, Don.
That's right. He does the news here every single day. You think you're so special.
Listen, you punk. Pick up the phone.
Yeah, he's Buzz Burbank. He's 247. And let me tell you something. He's also a gunfighter.
Real snot-nosed kids. Pick up the phone.
Come on.
Pick up the phone. Do you hear that ringing in my ears?
We won't be ignored, Doc.
If you are satisfied with your message,
oh,
press 1.
Yeah.
To listen to your message,
no,
press
no need,
2.
No need.
To re-record, press 3.
No, not again.
To cancel, press star.
No.
Well, did it tell us to do anything?
No, you, that means you're done, then.
1?
If you are satisfied with your message, press 1.
Ah.
To send your message now, press 1.
Send it with urgency.
To mark urgent,
urgent.
Press 2. Message marked urgent. To send your message now, press 1.
God.
Message sent.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling.
Christ.
Goodbye.
All right, goodbye. One more. Let me just try the homeless guy who's on the side of the road in San Diego.
With his cell phone.
Do anthropology for food?
Yeah.
248.
How's the guy afford a cell phone?
What's the difference between an anthropologist?
So please leave me a message.
So he's not home. The homeless guy's not home.
To leave a voice message, press 1. Or just wait for
the... Sounds like the same lady.
Yeah.
F you.
If you are satisfied with your message, press 1. To listen to your message, press 2.
Lady.
F you.
If you are satisfied with your message,
like
press 1. To send your message now, press 1. Message sent.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling.
All
goodbye.
Right.
Thank you.
I enjoyed that.
Yeah.
All right. Satisfied.
Doc Holliday, not there, the 148-year-old guy.
How can a guy that's like out on the street all day have, you know, not be home?
I don't know.
I don't know how he affords a cell phone either.
Really?
And I guess we'll get the guy who wants to pay 25 grand for a wife on tomorrow's episode.
Excellent.
Oh, listen, trust tomorrow. We're playing one of our wacky reindeer games, give away a trip anywhere in the United States.
Wow. That's a great prize.
That is on tomorrow's episode. Now, news time with the world's oldest man, Father Time, Jack Kent Burbank.
Right.
What is your lead story tonight on the news and comments?
Our top story tonight, a Super Bowl coach goes out on top.
I don't think Burbank's been on top for a long time. I really don't.
Sexually, of course.
Good point. Touche.
Time out, everybody. Stay tuned, please.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
For news and comments.
News and comments.
Coming up.
Coming
on
up.
The Don and Mike
Don
Show.
Don and Mike Show. That was very...
The Don and Mike 7220 for information and direction. Do not miss it.
What's the word from playing crackpot?
We will find out in a moment. If you live in Green Bay, Wisconsin, well, let me be the first to say, yeah, hey there. Just after 5:30 local time, and you hear the show every day on WNFL. I like that name.
Yeah.
Green Bay, Wisconsin. The talk you can't ignore. Don't forget about it.
Rest easy and know that every broadcast brings you one day closer to the peaceful, tranquil, eternal sleep.
sleep of the dead. So enjoy the Don and Mike Show.
Oh, really?
Really?
Yeah.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. Well, he's decided to go out on top. St. Louis Rams coach Dick Vermeil has announced his retirement after leading his team to a Super Bowl victory.
What?
Offensive coordinator Mike March will try to fill the shoes.
Mike Martzky?
Mike March.
Oh, okay.
All right, very good.
No ski there.
They get enough shots of that guy in the Super Bowl, that guy March.
Handsome.
Yeah.
Handsome he is.
It was in his contract. He gets to follow in Vermeil's footsteps.
He's a pudgy guy with gray hair.
Yeah. I like it that they show those coaches up there. You know, during Monday Night Football.
Oh, they showed that guy, Ernie Zampezi.
Oh, yeah.
Same smokes. That guy has to have an iron lung next to him.
Well, Vermeil actually coached two Super Bowl teams 19 years apart, and he led Philadelphia to a championship game in 1981. He had 2 years left on his five-year contract with the Rams, and yes, he cried at today's news conference.
Hey, way to go. I was wondering that.
Yes, he did.
You know, his name sounds like some kind of a disease.
Vermeil?
I got Dick Vermeil.
Oh, man, look at all this Vermeil on me. It sounds like a...
Dick Vermeil. Look, I got an awful case of Dick Vermeil.
What happened to him? Well, he was just a nice guy, and then he got Dick Vermeil.
Got the Vermeil.
The Super Bowl did just fine without the Cowboys, the Broncos, or any of the usual suspects. What do you take for your Dick Vermeil?
Peppa.
All right. The TV ratings were very much the same as the numbers for all the other Super Bowls in the past 10 years.
Of course, there were robots over in our society. It doesn't matter what's on.
Sure.
People just... Did you hear all the reports that Super Bowl has now become, Super Bowl Sunday,
mm-hmm.
the second highest consumption of food day of the year behind Thanksgiving?
Really?
That more people in America eat more food on Super Bowl Sunday
I didn't know
than any day except Thanksgiving.
Hey, America! America gets goofy on the nachos.
Yeah.
Over the course of the game,
goofy for the launcher.
More than 130 million people tuned in. That's nearly 3 million more than last year. People were speculating, actually, that the ratings would be down this year because it was the Rams and the Titans. That wasn't the case. And get this, media experts say the ratings were helped by Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, which was used to heavily promote the big game.
You know, that's propaganda.
Yeah.
I mean,
of course it is.
That's pure propaganda. And I hate it when they make it sound like a news
like Regis Philbin had anything to do with the Super Bowl getting
absolutely
a high rating.
Not.
But that didn't come from ABC. That came from a media analyst guy.
A media analyst probably paid somehow.
Yeah, who works for ABC
under
somehow.
The table by ABC.
The Super Bowl ad, speaking of those, the one showing Christopher Reeve walking may have sent the wrong message.
I know he said somebody called the show yesterday.
They thought it was a joke.
She and her boyfriend were giggling through them.
Yeah, they did not understand it. A group that speaks for people with spinal cord injury says it's getting flooded with calls from folks wanting to know how the actor was cured.
Oh, God. People are so stupid.
Reeve was paralyzed.
You, sir, are an idiot.
Paralyzed when he fell from a horse 5 years ago. In this futuristic commercial, he appears to be walking thanks to computer and editing tricks. Reeve has said he will someday walk again and that he was eager to do the ad reinforcing that belief. But the National Spinal Cord Injury Association says the ad is raising false hopes among others with Reeve's condition.
You know, the one other thing that I wish, and I'm glad you pronounced it correctly. His name is not Christopher Reeves. His name is Christopher
Reeve.
It's Martha
Reeves
and the Vandellas.
Reeve.
Christopher Reeve.
And I'm surprised that Spinal Cord Association would be concerned about it. I mean, I think the goal, obviously, was to, heighten awareness about what donations to these causes can do. Well, they're afraid that it's building false hope among other people who have that. People are seeing Christopher Reeve walking and they're saying, hey, I want to go to that hospital. And they're calling the Spinal Cord Association saying, what's the number of that hospital? And there is no such place.
You got a gun?
Yeah, really.
I got an awful case of the Dick Vermeil's. Yeah, but I'll tell you, this Dick Vermeil's killing me.
By the way.
Huh?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
The ad, by the way, was for Nuveen, an investment company.
Now, that sounds like something you'd take to take care of your Dick Vermeil.
Right.
Try Nuveen.
If your Dick Vermeil is really acting up on you, just rub a little Nuveen on it.
Oh, my Dick Vermeil's so red and angry.
That is, but, you know, 1 week with Nuveen, it'll clear up completely.
And my Dick Vermeil was gone.
You don't have Dick Vermeil.
Exactly.
I'm trying to think of the next life, and then your ass doesn't smell.
Exactly.
Hey, your ass doesn't smell.
Exactly. Okay, serious for a moment. Serious.
Oh, really?
No, okay. No, really.
Okay.
Seriously.
Okay.
Oh, really? As expected, no survivors have been recovered from last night's Alaska Airlines crash. A few bodies have been recovered, four to be exact, and some debris. They've picked up beeps now from the black box recorders. Investigators say the tape from the air traffic control tower reveals that the pilots were, in fact, reporting a jammed stabilizer control. 88 people on board the flight, as you know. More than 30 of them, it turns out, were employees of Alaska and its sister airline. A federal grand jury, by the way, has been investigating the record-keeping in the maintenance department at Alaska Airlines. However, Alaska is a respected company in the industry with a safety record as good as any of the other airlines.
I've heard a lot of those planes are going down. Whatever, not
in the 80s?
Not the name brand, yes, but whatever kind of plane it is. There's been like 7 or 8 crashes of that kind of plane in recent years.
One in Little Rock a short time back, and, you know, MD-80s are McDonnell Douglas 80s,
right.
And they were, you know, absorbed by Boeing Corporation. And so, I mean, it's a McDonnell Douglas plane, but Boeing now owns the whole shooting
and makes the replacement parts and such.
Well, now let's talk about how good things are for a minute.
Okay.
As of today, February 1st, 2000.
February.
February 1st.
February.
February.
Rabbit.
As of today, you are part of the longest economic expansion in American history.
I hate that kind of stuff.
You hate this kind of talk?
Not
yeah.
me, Buzz.
Yeah, it just makes me think the bubble's going to burst.
You know what I mean?
I don't know. It looks pretty good.
I've got $20 million like Will Smith. I'm not writing a song saying how great I have it.
And you said rabbit this morning.
Yeah, right.
You're set.
And look, I'm still miserable. At 107 months, this beats the old record of 106 months set during the 1960s. And this growth spurt is not only longer than any other, it may be the best one. Unemployment hasn't been this low in 30 years.
Look at that growth spurt.
Consumer confidence is at a record high. And Wall Street has just marked 5 straight years with returns of 20% or more on the S&P 500 stock list. And although a fear of inflation is likely to drive up interest rates again tomorrow, things appear to still be getting even better. In fact, if you look at today's closing numbers, the Dow closed up 100 points, NASDAQ up 111.
Well, Jim Elliott will never have to work another day in his life.
I'm so happy about that, Don. I do it for the fun of it.
I spoke with this guy, this disc jockey.
Right.
Jim Elliott, who has had the...
Hi.
Mike, he's the vice president of promotion for Arista Records in New York.
Right.
Don't edit out the part about Arista.
I was talking to him last week. At the very end, I'm making small talk with him. I said, how's it going? You know, he says, at first he was patronizing me a little bit. How many stations are you guys on?
Oh, that's great.
Your sound is super. So I have to ask him, how are you doing?
Right.
And rather than just say, you know, the job's going great, things are going great.
Fine.
I had to hear, the stock market has been very good to Jim Elliott. And Jim Elliott, if he chose to, could quit right now and would never have to work another day in his life.
Oh, God.
Wow.
Thank you, Jim. You know, that falls under the heading of news you keep to yourself.
Yeah. Well, he's the same guy that at that radio convention, what did he say to you, Rob, about his car?
Do you suppose you could help me find my $60,000 automobile?
Oh, God.
I've been hanging out with Will Smith.
He's one of those guys.
WAVA. Stay in bed all morning just to pass the time. You know, that empty feeling in your stomach. When a relationship's over, Carol King.
Yeah, that's nice. I got to come in here and bust my ass every day, but that guy doesn't have to work another day in his life. And Kenny Loggins has an $8 million house, and Will Smith is writing songs about how rich he is.
All of these factors contributing to the fact that you are...
miserable! Time out, bud.
Okay.
Time out. And we'll be back with more news in a moment.
This is the Don and Mike Show. Mike Show.
Right on, God diddly ever.
Right on.
You know, when I had to have my colonoscopy about a month ago...
Yes.
All they told me the night before was... don't eat anything after 8 p.m. and have no sodas or no coffee the morning of. They didn't give me this rocket fuel that they're giving you to clean yourself out.
And I haven't been able to eat any solid food or dairy products all day. I haven't been able to see it says no solid food or dairy products.
Maybe that's because you had that colon thing before.
I don't know, but now I'm going to take the product.
All right, Mike is now going to drink the stuff that will give him...
I figure they say they mix this stuff with 4 ounces of water.
He's going to... Breathing. He's going to do the stuff that gives him rocket poops.
Mm-hmm.
That will, I guess, flush out his entire system.
Yes, it will.
That look like about 4 ounces to you, probably.
I'm the worst. How much does that glass hold?
12 ounces.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Very good. Mm-hmm. And then I have to chase it with another 4 ounces, but I have to put this stuff in there. What?
This is much better. I had to drink gallons of stuff, so you're lucky.
Well, Buzz,
You had your whole stomach taken out.
No, but even for the colonoscopy, I had to have that. Okay, I put the stuff in here now.
And we will get the full report tomorrow of the doctor putting the camera up your ass. What are you drinking now, just the water or the junk? You're drinking the junk, right? It
used to be from that face.
Mm. How is it?
Ah.
A little tart?
Oh, God!
You want to chase that with some water?
Ah. Oh,
chase
man.
It.
Your face is as red as your shirt.
Jesus Christ.
That's the delicious taste of new bean.
Oh, Jesus. You know, I never used to say the Lord's name as much as I do.
I know, I told you. It's been your New Year's resolution. You say GD all the time.
God, that Jesus Christ all the time.
Fine with me. I was supposed to chase it with
4 ounces of water.
Well, 8 ounces. 8 ounces of
water. Well, then you got some more water coming to you.
Keep drinking.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, it's very important.
Yeah, keep going. Keep going.
Chug.
Mm.
Chug.
Want a kiss?
Chug.
So I took the stuff.
Okay, good.
All right, thank you very much.
Now, I bet within... We'll be here at least.
No,
I'm not. We're not going to go, you know, like we did last night till 8 o'clock.
Okay.
But we'll be here.
Why? Well, I did it because I want to be here, you see, as opposed to be in the car.
On the road.
I'd much rather be like saying goodnight to you guys.
I was going
to
give you an estimate that I bet we're here at least 20 more minutes doing the show.
Right.
I bet that you poop before the end of the show. I bet that it works that fast.
I think you're probably right.
That it's right now 3 minutes until 7 on the East Coast.
Mm-hmm.
So do your own time wherever you are.
You know what's weird about
it? Within the next 20 minutes, Mike's going to have some killer watery diarrhea poops.
You know what they say? You know what's weird about these instructions? It says add this stuff to four ounces a glass of water and drink. Follow with one full glass, 8 ounces of clear liquid. Drink at least 3 more full glasses. Oh, I'm going to need some more water then, Rob.
All right.
Before retiring.
Uh-huh. What is more that? Like Dick Vermeil?
No, it'd be like going to bed.
I know what that means.
But I mean, before retiring, then what, you're supposed to go to bed after you drink all this stuff? Or they're just done?
No, before you're done with your activities for the day.
Go to bed at your usual time. Between now and then, drink 3 more full glasses of clear liquid. All right.
Right on.
Well, I've done it now.
It stinks.
It smells horrible.
This stuff has an odor that is noticeable on my side of the room.
Wait till it gets,
and it's ginger lemon flavor.
Wait till it gets to the other end if you think it stinks now.
It doesn't smell like ginger and lemons over here.
You ever have to take any of this stuff during your difficulties?
No, the one I drank were in big gallon jugs that I had to drink of that stuff.
See, all these guys, I think, have different methods of evacuation.
Well, we're gonna run the clock right now.
I say 40 minutes. You said 20, I say 40.
No, I say by quarter after.
Rob, if Rocky could get me another thing of water, too. Because this is necessary.
Yeah, it is on the way.
So. Mm-hmm. Keep it going.
Got
it
coming, Mike. With a big gun gym. I'm the program director. Here. Poop in my hands.
Go ahead. Hold my hands up.
That's good job. Good job. Okay, hi, Buzzy.
Hi, Don and Mike. The new lead singer for Van Halen is...
Hold on.
Hold on. Sammy Hagar again.
Just a minute. Hold on.
The new lead
now,
singer.
Now, finally, you have some news
for Van Halen.
Hold on. Wait a minute. Let me guess.
And?
The new lead singer for Van Halen is...
This is Sam Huff.
Is it?
No, it's not Sam Huff.
Okay, wait a minute. Hold on. The new lead singer for Van Halen is...
This is Larry Michael, Westwood One, Radio.
No, it's not Larry Michael.
Okay, is it...
Hi, this is Surf.
No, it's not Surf.
All right, who is it?
It is David Lee Roth. David Lee Roth is the new lead singer for Van Halen. It's not official yet, but looks like a go. Rolling Stone magazine says Roth was talking at a strip club in Hollywood Friday night about a trial marriage with his former bandmates. But wait, there's more.
Yeah?
In the band's official newsletter, Valerie Bertinelli raves about David's latest solo concerts. And Rolling Stone says Roth has already cut 2 new tracks with the group at Eddie's 5150 studio.
I'm not opposed to that.
The magazine also says they will tour as Van Halen with David Lee Roth.
All right.